因为上面的就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是就是playing professional baseball. Okay, Jack, you're in on the third base dugout.
Running home.
That's a D-ball for something.
And then throws it to home, throws it to second to get the double play. I don't even know what it is. That one definitely.
Okay. My first viral play.
Any ladies do sing?
It's going to be a long time for some of those called up. They're going to wait. Well, my guess is probably till
Travis. I did see that Raphael.
Yep, and Richard Paz is back. Richard Paz.
Oh, perfect.
Back up catcher. He was with us. Yeah, we have three catchers. He was with us in 2022. Then was injured all of last year. Then got assigned to Lynchburg on Saturday. Called up to Double A.
Double A. Oh wow. Okay.
For 3 days. Now he's back here. In
cool.
He's gonna get. Oh, I did this the other day. This was fun.
I don't know if it's fun, but I'm just curious.
If I had bet money, Renny Artinez, probably.
Or Kellen Vasquez. They usually put in late game situations.
Late game blowouts. That's all. Pause. Strong. They need the space.
You know? This time back then, 2018,
right?
Yeah.
Then, what's
this in your life? You've been here
long. These are long.
Oh.
That's one of my guesses. Anyone that signs 40-40, like even Steven Perez. I think Juan Gomez is fine. He's really well. Abel Brito might be better guy than this guy. I think Durango and Gonzalez is the best one on this side. Junior is, I think, is fine.
Right on.
What's my prediction?
See how close you are.
Hate to see guys get cut, but sometimes it's not about us.
You know, like, if you've been here for that long, you know, I've been with the organization. I'm sure the lot international players,
most of them will end up.
Okay.
Considering how it goes, they have one more month.
Because I didn't know if there was anything
to say. So. Most of them
are funny you started hearing that.
Yep, I'll let you know.
Go ahead. Thank you.
welcome to the Lynchburg Hillcats pregame show with Connor Young live on the Lynchburg Hillcats radio network. The Hillcats are up in the series 2-1, and both the Lynchburg wins have been 9-inning complete game shutouts. The first started by Alex Clemmy, and the second last night by Rorik Moultrie. We'll hear a little later on in the show from Alex Clemmy, and what exactly has been going right for the lanky lefty in his last two starts in the Bank of the James Stadium in our pregame interview. But as good as the pitching has been for Lynchburg across the board, apart from an ugly game one seventh inning, the bats haven't really offered too much on the other side. We'll see if that can change tonight in game four from a Lynchburg lineup without Jason Cheerio and Ralphie Velasquez. But first, let's recap the series. It was a 9-1 win for Augusta in game one. Lynchburg's offense was stifled by Jeremy Reyes, who picked up his first win in the Carolina League in his league debut. Lynchburg would only strike for one run in the whole contest. The starting pitching, even in a loss, was fantastic. Alonzo Richardson put up another quality outing, but Durant Parra out of the bullpen did not. He would be crushed for 7 runs in the 7th inning that sealed the Hillcats' fate. Alex Clemmy got the ball, though, in game two. He went for 4 innings, punching out 8, holding a really struggling Augusta offense scoreless. His usual follow-up, Kyle Scott, was just as good. Scott was officially credited with the win after going 3 1/3 innings and also not allowing a run while striking out 6. 4-run 6 blew things open for Lynchburg as they handed Augusta the 5-0 loss. Last night's contest, to be honest with you, was a bit of a weird one. Rorik Moultrie took the ball and picked up where Alex Clemmy left off. For the second straight night, Jordan Smith and the Hillcats got 8 strikeouts from their starting pitcher, which would eventually result in a win, much like Kyle Scott in game 2. Matt Jasek came into the game after Rorik Moultrie exited and was dominant out of the bullpen. The run on his fastball was obviously fooling Augusta hitters time and time again, as Jasek would pick up 6 strikeouts, several looking in his relief appearance. The team leader in saves, Josh Harlow, racked up his team-high 4th successful close on the year. He has been perfect in save opportunities this season. There wasn't much offense to speak of for Lynchburg. The biggest contributor on that side of the ball was probably Jason Cheerio, who drove in both of the Hillcats' 2 runs. Lynchburg would be without their usual 3-hitter in the lineup tonight. Our starters today will be Yorman Gomez and Adam Meyer. Yorman Gomez leads the team and ranks within the top 10 in the Carolina League in wins this season, you know, despite the fact that wins are a much less valued stat than it has been in decades prior. The 5 wins on the season show that Gomez has what it takes to bear down and put his team in a position to win ball games. That's exactly what he's going to look to do here in game 4. Adam Meyer has a record of 2-3 and an ERA of 4.17 in 2024. He was drafted out of Vancouver, Canada in the 7th round of the 2022 MLB draft. If Augusta's offense is going to continue to struggle, Meyer is going to need to be as dominant as he looked earlier this season when he went 7 full innings to pick up just the 2nd complete game thrown of the season in the Carolina League. Who has the other complete game, you ask? None other than the Hillcats starting rotation fixture, Alonzo Richardson. That complete game for Richardson was also a 7-inning affair, and it was the lone shutout complete game there has been in the Carolina League this year. With that, let's look away from the Hill City towards the Carolina League schedule and standing, starting with the schedule. 6:30 p.m. Eastern start here in Lynchburg is the earliest start time. Fredericksburg and Carolina will also get going at the same time. Charleston down east, 7 p.m. Eastern, as the Wood Ducks look to continue to hand it to Charleston. River Dogs continue to struggle in the bottom of the South Division. Different spot than where they found themselves in the years prior. Kannapolis and Delmarva will get going once again. The Shorebirds up in the series 2-1 over the top-ranked Kannapolis Cannonballers in the South Division as Delmarva puts together 2 good series. Got to look to close things out, though, at home against a very good Cannonballers offense and starting rotation. Just a really good complete team, to be honest with you. Columbia and Myrtle Beach, 7:05 p.m. Eastern, start from Pelican Ballpark. Fayetteville will host Salem. Look at the standings. Carolina's in the top spot in the north. Down east, 4.5 games out in 2nd place. Lynchburg in 3rd place, 5 games behind Carolina. A half game between the 3rd and 2nd team. Lynchburg continues to try to make a last effort to climb up the north standings and claim that 1st half crown. It's going to be tough, but the Hillcats Each passing game puts them in a better opportunity, especially if Fredericksburg, who's behind Lynchburg, can continue to find some success against the Mudcats. They were able to win their first game of the series in Game 3 last night. Salem, 30-30, dead even on the season. 8 games out of first. Delmarva in the basement, 21-38. Annapolis, top to South, 37-22. Columbia, 4.5 games out of first. Fireflies have a fighting chance at that top spot, but they're the only team in the South that can say that. Myrtle Beach is 11 games out of first in third place. Fayetteville, 11.5. Augusta, 12. And Charleston, 13 games from the top spot. Lynchburg's offense has just managed 8 runs through 3 games this series. But thanks to their starting pitching, they have been able to get away with this and still pick up 2 wins. The offense really needs to turn things around on this beautiful Friday evening and set the tone for the rest of the series. These will be the boys to hopefully do just that tonight. Tommy Knott leads off once again. Christian Knapchick back into the lineup will bat 2nd. Alfredo Antunez 3rd. Mejia's 4th. He'll DH. Juan Benjamin goes to 1st base. He'll fill in for Ralphie Velasquez. Jose Pastrano on the other side of the diamond at 3rd. Lexer Sadui in left. Robert Lopez at the catching. And Franco Dewey makes his shortstop debut here at the Bank of the James Stadium for the Hillcats. On the other side for Augusta, Luis Sanchez will lead off. No Isaiah Drake today. He'll get his one day off, as he always does. Laker Figueroa will bat 2nd. Will Verdung 3rd. Bryson Worrell will bat 4th. Harry Owen 5th. He'll do the catching. Robert Gonzalez in center, bat 6th. Noah Williams the DH. Joel Osofsky plays shortstop today. We saw him at first, not his natural position. However, shortstop is, he'll finally be able to move back to a position that is much more native to him. We'll see if it can help him out at the dish. In his last game, he went 0-3 with a strikeout. And P.O. Boucher bats 9th in the left field. You'll hear from Alex Clemmie when we come back on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network. Clemmie talks tweaks to his windup and his unwavering determination to get better and better with each timeout. That's coming up next. Thank you. Alex Clemmie continues to pitch better and better with each passing start, which is a positive sign for Hillcats fans and Guardians fans alike. Jason Prill and myself, Connor Young, will be back with you to welcome you all into the bank of the JM Stadium as we get ready for Game 4 from the Hill City when we come back. Don't go anywhere. You don't want to miss it.
Friday, everyone, and welcome inside Bank of the James Stadium. Shane Bieber bobblehead night here at the ballpark. The Hillcats and the Augusta Green Jackets get set for game number 4 of this 6-game series. Lynchburg winning 2 of the first 3. I'm hoping behind a lower key lineup tonight that they can continue to put up some wins in the win column and stay on pace to maybe have a chance at the North Division. Jason Pearl alongside Connor Young. What should be a fun night. A beautiful day for baseball yet again. The blue skies and sunny all week. This one, though, a little bit warmer, which means the balls could be flying out of here a little bit quicker.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, the biggest flies we've been seeing have been pop-ups over the last couple of games. It's been low scoring. Honestly, even for Augusta, the pitching has looked good, but for Lynchburg, it's just been even better. 2 straight shutouts, 20 straight scoreless innings have been dealt to Augusta, all the way going back to that big 7th inning. That's the last time they scored in this series in Game 1. Since then, the pitching has taken over. The starting pitching leading the way. The bullpen has been good, too. And Yordan Gomes wants to keep the good times rolling. And, you know, he's a guy that at this point in the season, you probably trust to go out there and keep it going along the line.
You really do. His one knock has been his allowance of the home run ball. However, don't want to jinx him. He's not given one up since 8-8. That down ice ever since then. He's been pretty solid. He'll face Adam Meyer, right-handed pitcher for Augusta. Your sinker, slider, changeup. Also an obvious on that case last night. But that's where we're going with a slightly different lineup. Without Ralph Velasquez, without Jason Cheerio, without Esteban Gonzalez, a lot of names missing from this lineup. It's a lineup that has trouble this week, so maybe shaking things up can get the ball rolling.
Yeah, that's what happened last week, right? Or the week prior to that against Salem, last time we were home, here at home in the Bank of the James Stadium. And it was a lineup that looked a little bit weaker on paper, a little bit less star power, and they popped off for the biggest offensive production of the week. You know, Jordan Smith once again shuffling the deck, getting his guys an off day, and giving a chance for some of the guys that usually bat in those 7, 8, 9 spots to move up the order and make an impact. And, you know, I think they got a good chance of doing just that. I think it's shakeup coming at just the right time.
Well, we are moments away from the first pitch here in Lynchburg, which means it's time for us to toss it down to our PA announcer, Eston, who has set the defense for tonight. And introduce tonight's manager, Don't go anywhere. We'll have more coming up after we send it down the field. Lynchburg Panthers, ready. Inside Bank of the James Stadium as the Lynchburg Hillcats take on the Augusta Green Jackets on the bump from Lynchburg tonight. Norman Gomez, 5-2 with a 3-1 ERA. However,
You heard her, let's get the party started, huh?
But hoping for a bounce back tonight. A couple rougher outings the past few weeks.
Yeah, you know, his ERA in the month of April, 2.29, so it was a great start to the season. And then in May, it's an ERA of 2.86, a little bit worse, but still, if your ERA's under 3, you're feeling good. And so far this month, for two starts, that's where most of the trouble has really came up for Yermán Gomez. He's got an ERA in double digits so far for two starts in the month of June at 10.80. Last one was against Delmarva, where he went 4 1/3, 5 hits, 3 walks, 2 strikeouts, 6 earned runs. You know, this month, 5 walks to 7 strikeouts. That's not the strike-to-walk ratio you're looking for a pitcher. When he can limit walks, that's when he's at his best. The strikeouts are nice. That's not really bread and butter. He's not an Alex Plumlee type that you're going to look to strike out 5-plus an outing. He just finds a way to get out. He's a grinder, and he filled that role really well for Lynchburg. His 2024 has been better than it was in 2023 with the Hillcats, although by the end of the season, his numbers last year didn't look all that bad. And this year, he's been very consistent, apart from really his last two starts. So he's looking for a bounce back, and this Augusta lineup might be the team to find it again. They have really been really consistent coming into this.
Augusta has struggled since really game two of this series. They've been shut out the last two ball games, scoreless for 20 games straight against Lynchburg. The last time they touched home was that 7-run seventh inning on Tuesday evening. We'll meet the lineup here in a moment. Yermán Gomez will face Luis Sanchez, different leadoff hitter for Augusta. First pitch of the night's ball game is grounded to the right field past Juan Benjamin. And Sanchez will open up tonight with a leadoff single. Augusta will get the party rolling. Introduce the lineup for us, Scott.
Yeah, not a bad start for the leadoff man. Luis Sanchez, the leadoff dude, reaches on the single, so they get the lead man on. Figueroa will bat second, Verdun third, Worrell fourth, Owen fifth, Gonzalez, Williams, Olsovsky, and Boucher the rest of the way down.
88 degrees and partly cloudy at first pitch, which was set at 6:32. Gomez will have to wait a second. It's a home plate umpire. Had something wrong with his mask. Tonight's home plate umpire, none other than Reginald Webb, Cameron Jones out in the field. Take care, Figueroa. Adding .196 for RBIs. He takes down below the knees for ball one. No Isaiah Drake tonight getting the night off. He had been their leadoff hitter. He'd been tearing the whole count's apart all series long. One finds the zone. One ball, one strike. He got the inside fastball. Figueroa over at second base today. Throw over toward first, and Sanchez back with a dive. Figueroa. 5'10", 155, 19 years old from Venezuela. Signed as an international free agent in 2022. Born in 2005, as he chops it over toward third with foul. He's trying to watch it go. 1-2. It's hard to believe 2005. Hillcats have quite a few.
Yeah.
Born in 2005. Clemmie, Curio, Velasquez all come to mind as three Hillcats who were born in 2005. 1-2, the runner takes off and is chopped foul. So, awkward stumble by Sanchez. Out of his break.
Yeah, it was a similar jump to what we saw in the top of the ninth last night from Isaiah Drake. That was the first time the Hillcat, or he had been thrown out by any team. And it was Robert Lopez behind the dish to do it. Just a bad jump from Drake and a great throw from Lopez to get him out.
It's 1-2 as Gomez will step off. It is interesting to note that the ground screw has been really watering down the field these past few ball games. So maybe a bit more clumpy in the dirt, trying to get the runner to take off. As he does here, it gets away from Lopez. Around second, heading for third is Sanchez. Lopez will fire it down there. The tag not in time, so first to third. Stolen base and a wild pitch. Sanchez now end up 90 feet away. Still nobody out.
This is how the Green Jackets led off the first game of the series. Isaiah Drake, that time it was a double, then he would steal third, so a little bit different. But they had a man on third base with no outs, and they were able to push across a run. And when Augusta scores first, they're 17-6 on the season.
The 2-2, a breaking ball, misses down and away, full count. Long at-bat here for Gomez as his struggles continue. Off single, now stands at third. Nobody out, top of the first inning here in Lynchburg. Three, two. Flair shot. Going to be a tough play on Tunis, charging in on it. He loses his hat. He'll make the grab, and it's not deep enough. One of the tag going from third. So Sanchez will retreat. In the roll, retired.
Back third, first baseman.
It's been a long time since Augusta's been able to crack the scoreboard. Tuesday was the last time. Back-to-back shutouts for Lynchburg. They have 7 on the season. The field is pulled in. Runner on third. Verdun batting 208. Fouls it back to the screen for strike one. Got 15 RBIs on the season. Looking for one more.
Augusta just 0-for-2 in runners. With runners in scoring position last game, so they didn't have all that many opportunities, to be fair, but the ones they did have, they squandered. You talked about how many shutouts Lynchburg's pitched this year, up to 7 now. For Augusta, they've been shut out similar amount, 7 times this season as well, where they've been shut out.
That missed upstairs, 1 ball and 1 strike. Not really an offense to write home about for the Green Jackets. In this lineup, only one player batting 250 or above, and he's right at 250. That's the man on his deck, Bryson Worrell. 1-1. Missed inside with a fastball, 2 balls and a strike. Worrell, limited action to this point. Everybody else, 212 or below in this lineup for Augusta. Still have a runner 90 feet away. The 2-1 from Gomez popped up first base side and out of play, 2-2.
Big pitch here from Gomez. You would really like to set Verdun down on strikes so that you can guarantee, or at least help guarantee, get closer to guaranteeing that Sanchez is going to stay put at third. And if he puts this ball in play, there's a good chance Sanchez will have a play at the plate.
Infield remains pulled in with a 2-2. Chopper over toward first, Benjamin. Come home with it, but not nearly in time. So everybody will reach. That was really the only play he was going to have.
Yeah.
Him having to range over toward second base to make the play. Augusta breaks their 20-inning scoreless streak here in the first. Fielder's choice, Will Verdun.
Yeah, for Benjamin, it was either throw home, which he had no play, as you saw by the result, or it was going to be a mad dash back to the bag. It was going to be a foot race between him and Verdun that Benjamin would probably lose out on. So with the infield in, it's a perfectly put ball for Verdun. That's not a perfectly placed ball for Gomez.
He fires it wide of first. Benjamin, not a natural first baseman, over at first base, and now Verdun in scoring position. So the struggle is really continuing now for Gomez.
Yeah, the wild pitch, and now the throwing error puts Verdun in scoring position. Both miscues help the runner get 90 feet closer.
Well, into left field, looking farther and farther away from Sadui, that will land in foul territory.
Talking about this Augusta offense, which has struggled in this series and as a whole, you know, they were sapped with a lot of their production when Compton and Grady both went up to high A Rome. those two by far were their best hitters. They were each batting close to 300, 295 for Compton, Grady 288 when they left. On base percentages high, slugging percentages high.
Morel in the deep center field, but Hawk will settle underneath it. The runner's going to try and tag from second. Hawk comes up firing. Runner will hold as it's a good, strong throw from Tommy Hawk. Two down.
But yeah, when those two left for Rome, a lot of the offense went with them, unfortunately. And they've been plugging and piecing together a lineup, trying to find some consistency. And, you know, it's been a little bit of a struggle. But they've seen some guys continue to come back from injury and produce. Isaiah Drake at the top of the line there.
Jeremy Celedonio, really the only green jacket that has been able to produce at a high level. He's out in the lineup today as Harry Owen takes inside for ball one. Runner on second, two down, top of the first inning, 1-0 lead for Augusta. Gomez trying to escape this inning without any more damage. 1-0, a fastball to find the zone, 1-1. Gomez approaching 20 pitches, just made his 17th here in the first inning.
Biggest change in approach I've seen from Augusta so far. Just a half inning or two outs of a half inning is no strikeouts. Even putting the ball in play, that's huge.
1-1, a check swing. They say he went around for strike two. Greg Webb giving the benefit of the doubt to Gomez. Nice strike away. The 1-2. Ground ball right back to him. He snagged it on his hip. Other hand put it to first, and the inning is over. But Augusta leads 1-0. They strike first and break their 20-inning scoreless streak. We step aside right here.
Three trust. For 25 years, we focused on developing the strength of our business. We earned the trust of our customers, partners, and employees by delivering professional service and maintaining the integrity of our core values. And we're proud to make good on our commitments toward each of our communities. Three trust business. Standing on this foundation, we're strong and stand ready for you. I'm Bob Chapman, and I invite you back to us.
If you're Hillcats scored by a run to spell out wings, the first 100 fans will receive a Buffalo Wild Wing coupon. Buffalo Wild Wings on North Road is the place to celebrate before and after a Hillcats game. Join them for their BOGO Tuesdays and Thursdays, as well as happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 7 p.m. Plus, by becoming a Blazer Rewards member, you can score free beat-ups, shooting, and more just for your loyalty. Buffalo Wild Wings on North Road in Lynchburg, the greatest of all time.
Cooper Family McDonald's has sponsored the McDouble of the game. When a Hillcats player hits a double, the fans sitting in the selected McDouble section will go home with a free McDouble coupon courtesy of Cooper Family McDonald's. Tonight's McDouble section is Section 4.
Adam Meyer, sinker, slider, changeup, the right-hander on the bump. He's 2-3 with a 4.17 ERA. 45 innings, he struck out 47, walked 10. Meyer, it'll be interesting to see from him as the starting pitchers for both teams have been strong this year. Augusta really stepped down once they're hitting.
They really have. For Meyer, he didn't appear in a game in 2023, missing time due to recovery of a UCL injury he suffered in 2022. And he was one of the biggest draft wild cards in recent memory for Atlanta. He only pitched 60 innings in amateur ball, that's between college baseball and summer ball, but he's currently MLB Pipeline's 18th ranked Braves prospect. So there's some hype behind Adam Meyer.
Well, he misses out wide to Tommy Hawk for ball one. The right-hander, that's chopped off his glove, and he knocks it down. Meyer flips on to first, and there's one away. Hawk got a bit unlucky on that one. He probably would have beat it out if he got set.
Seen some athleticism shown from both men on the mound already. That play from Gomez, especially, like that was getting nailed. But showed the reflexes, and Meyer with a good play in his own right. For Meyer, in his 9-game start of this season, 5 of them, he's allowed 3 or more runs.
Missed out wide for ball 1 to Christian Napsick. admire the highly touted prospects for the Atlanta Braves organization. Last outing, he went 6 1/3, longest of his professional career. It's 2-0 on Napchick. Right-hander. Misses wide. 3 balls and no strikes. He missed in the exact same spot. 3 straight pitches. I had to paint that outside corner with the sinker. See when he goes 3-0. With the sinker again, but it caught the top of the zone, 3-1. Napchick was ready for the walk down to first. Good hitters count, though. Meyer fires. That one missed out wide of the same spot. Ball 4. So 4 pitches land in the same spot on the 5-pitch walk.
Hey, sir. Right there. First base four. Go, Freda.
You know, Jason, I don't know if we've seen Tommy Hawk, Christian Napchick bat back-to-back in an order this season, but, man, that's that's a tough two. I mean, those two guys both seem so pesky for a pitcher, you know, like kind of like we saw from Nishida for the Cannonballers when he came to town, just annoying as Napchick's back in time. And to have those guys back-to-back, it could be a long night for Meyer in this staff as Napchick works a good at-bat.
When you think about all the combinations of 1 and 2 that you could have for the Hillcats, this is probably the most intriguing for me. As Altunias fouls it away, because we've seen Gonzalez in the number one leadoff spot. Not really a leadoff here.
Yeah.
As he swings away at everything. And you put Ralphie at number 2, and you would probably think Ralphie should probably be hitting maybe in the 4 spot, maybe the 5 spot with his power.
Yeah.
This seems more like your traditional 1 and 2. Throw back over to Napchick as he's back to the dive for the second time. Hawk and Napchick, as you mentioned, are the most pesky of the Hillcats. The 0-1. Altunias out in front. He barreled it up, but drills a car in the parking lot for strike 2. He almost drilled Hagan Allred.
Yeah.
Who was just walking his dog out on the berm. Hagan Allred, the director of sales here at the Lynchburg Hillcats. His final week before heading to Kentucky. Got to be looking out. Here's the 2-strike pitch. Altunias once again out in front. Tying his shoes as quickly as possible.
Altunias is an interesting case because he's really good at battling with 2 strikes, as we've noted, but he gets in 2-strike counts a lot. He actually has a lot of strikeouts on the season despite his ability to battle, just because he likes to swing early in counts. He doesn't wait around too long.
You are right. He does find himself in these 2-strike counts, but then he battles. Makes it a longer at-bat. Napchick faints. High chopper towards second. Over the glove! A Figueroa in the right field. That will allow Napchick to go to third. Figueroa, I don't know if he took his eye off of it to see if he had a play at second, but what should have been a routine out of that close for
yeah, you know, it might have been like a classic case of just taking your eye off the ball, or the infield playing a little springier than he thought it would. That ball did take about a head high hop, and it went right over the webbing. I mean, if you're the Hillcats, you'll take it.
But it felt like the ball was coming down when it got to him.
True.
So I don't know what was going on with Figueroa, excuse me. The runner takes off for a second to throw down the slide, and it comes out of the glove. That's a pretty good read on it. He holds that third on Junius. And the stolen base, you know, base hit will give Lynchburg the lead.
At the end of that stolen base attempt for Altunias, he had the same amount of stolen bases as he's been caught. He had 7 and 7 of both. Now he's got 8 stolen bases, but he's been caught napping a lot on the base path this year.
The 0-1 chopper toward third. They're going to come home with it, and Napchick a sitting duck. Great play by Sanchez at third. He was behind the bat and was able to throw it home aboard the Napchick. Junior is now down to third, and he just reaches unconventional 5-2 field is 2 inches.
Yeah, I mean, it is a good play from the third baseman, but bad decision from Napchick. I would assume that was on him to make that decision. I don't know if Jordan Smith would have the time to relay the choice, you really got to hold up there. At least force a throw and then think about going. You know, he's going to look you back. That's fine. That'll give him more time down first, and he is not the fastest. If he throws that ball over, if you have a good jump, maybe. But to go on first instinct, that's the wrong choice.
Oh, and one-on-one Benjamin. Runners at the corners, two down, a good backdoor slider for strike two. Benjamin batting .242, a home run, 24 RBIs. He came on as a pinch hitter in last night's ball game. Rafael Ramirez Jr. got one at bat, flew out, ended his hit streak. Two-strike pitch to him. Runner takes off, and Benjamin, a half-hearted attempt at the plate. Inning is over. So what was looking to be a big inning for the Hillcats goes quietly. 1-0 against the Leeds.
Located at 14179 North Road across the Lynchburg Airport, or visit us on the web at jmjcompanies.com for more information. Attention baseball fans, are you ready to catch the surf side of the
wave? Guys, yeah, we're kind of on that.
While you're enjoying your favorite team, don't
they're
forget to grab
too.
A surf side iced tea
yeah.
plus
like,
vodka.
I like it in some spots, but when like, runs on the line, in the first
inning, that's two grams of sugar, all with absolutely zero bubbles. Surfside flavors include iced tea, peach tea, half and half, and lemonade. Let's make some noise and ride the surfside wave this season.
Gomez back out for his second inning of work after stumbling through the first. He only gave up one run on one hit, one error. Each team with an error through one inning of play gets the best commonplace for the Pittsburgh. Pretty solid defensively in this series. Gomez will still be charged with the earned run. The string of earned runs continue just a little bit further. Gonzalez will dig in for the top of the second inning. Gonzalez, Williams, and Osovsky. The three due up. Gomez. Get him to pop it up on the first pitch. Strike one. Gonzalez, in his last appearance, went 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts. He was the final out. Wednesday's ball game is that missed out wide 1-1. Him, Noah Williams, and P.O. Boucher, or excuse me, Cam McGee, are all a strikeout shy of a golden sombrero. Off the corner, 1-2, Gonzalez on the fan. And all three of them were back-to-back-to-back in the order. 5, 6, and 7. At one point, they were 0 for 9 with 9 strikeouts. Tough sledding. 1-2. Line back up the middle. Knocked down by Aldewey. That will allow the runner to reach first. The throw gets away. Benjamin took his eye off of it. Runner breaking for second. The throw down to second. Napchick scoops it. Tags him. Got him.
Huh?
A 6-3-4. Put out. There was an air somewhere in there. So E6. And then runner thrown out at second, I think is how that's going to be ruled.
Yeah, I'm going to wait until I see the official scoring before I even touch my book. But I don't know if this would have mattered. For Gonzalez, he took a wide turn.
Willows ropes it into right field, dropping in front of Antunez. So, no reach. Altuve looks him back and keeps him there. They still have yet to put any decision on what that last play consisted.
Yeah, I don't blame him. That's tough. Oh, here we go.
A single. I guess I can get on board with that. It was a line drive up the middle.
Well, that's an error in my book. I won't mark it as an error, but I think Aldewey's getting away with one there.
It's not an earned run at this point in time because the runner's been removed from the base pass. So, runner takes off for second, and Olsoski fouls it back into the screen. So, a lot of action going on to open up the second inning. Two singles to open up the frame. Maybe the errant throw by Aldewey. Can you blame that on Aldewey for the throw? Because Benjamin just pulled his foot off the bag and stopped paying attention. Ball went right by his head in there for a strike, 0-2. And it came in with such force that it bounced off the padding, came back toward the infield, and Benjamin was able to make the easy throw to second. Napchek picked it, slapped the tag on Gonzalez. The 0-2 on Olsoski misses in tight, but it's a balk, so that pitch won't count. Williams will get second without having to do too much.
This has been sloppy from Lynchburg. On the base pass, Christian Napchek heading for home. Getting out at home plate with just one out in the inning. A couple of errors. Now, Yordan Gomez with a balk. Been a forgetful start.
Two-strike pitch. Breaking ball. Didn't get the call on a good curve. Soski laid off. 1-2. Olsoski batting .176, no home runs, 12 RBIs. Runner on second, one away, top of the second inning. Throw back, Napchek plays the tag. Not in time.
Remember, in games where Augusta scores first, they're 17-6 heading into today. So that bodes well for the Green Jackets.
Pitching has been solid this week. They've held Lynchburg low amount in every ball game. As balk has been called again on Gomez. The second balk of this at bat. Now the runner's 90 feet away again, and the infield will have to be pulled in. And here comes Tony Arnold. Have a word with Gomez as something seems to be nagging at him his last few starts, because he is not the same Yordan Gomez that we saw open up the season.
Hasn't been. The tone of this conversation with Tony Arnold will depend on if he agrees with field umpire Cameron Jones on the box. It's tough to tell exactly where the issue was coming from. But to have it called twice in the same at-bat, I mean, gotta think something pretty obvious and clear is going wrong for Gomez. So, once again, you find yourself with a runner 90 feet away with just one out through the Green Jackets. The only bright spot for the Hillcats in this situation compared to the last one they found themselves in the top of the first is you do have two strikes on Olsoski, who has struggled this series. He's 0-3 in his last game with a strikeout.
Resume. He's given up 24 earned runs, but 33 runs total. Defense has not necessarily been sharp behind him in his starts. 1-2. He went around, says the home plate umpire. Olsoski retired. I'm a bit confused by how this is being scored and ruled. Gomez, in his first outing of the year, called strike to Boucher, gave up four runs, only one of them was earned, but he surrendered two home runs.
Yeah, that makes, that in Down East?
Yeah.
That's just a no broadcast moment, I guess.
The 0-1 chopper towards second. Napchek jumps to make the grab, a flip on to first, and the inning is over. We'll try to investigate this unique scoring decision from a long time ago that's just now being caught. We'll step aside on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Second inning is brought to you by the Virginia State Police. Start your career in law enforcement
with
Virginia State Police.
The heck? I don't know if possible. Inside the park? But, like, he would be charged to him.
Yeah.
Your future is here.
Could that be an error somewhere?
Yeah. Could it be something where they initially ruled it a home run and then it was changed after and then they changed the box score? That would happen, right?
Change number one. One in your wall double.
I am so lost with the confusion.
All right, one,
yeah, because it says
two,
he had one
four,
earned run,
three.
Four runs. But yeah, two homers. Fuck it.
I don't know, man. You got that right.
And only one error was committed by Lynchburg. What?
I don't know. That makes no sense at all.
And I don't see any. Are any Cats balls? No.
Yeah, I got no idea.
Still trying to figure out this unearned run situation. It's just going to end last, and you're talking about Ormond Gomez now. The first start of the season, he gave up one earned run, but two home runs, which mathematically, in baseball, does not make sense.
I mean, it's impossible, right? If it's going to actually be ruled a home run, that means no errors were committed. There can't be if it's a home run.
The rest of the number one.
He has two of those, which means he would be the sole person responsible, which would mean he would have at least 200 runs, but he only has one. It's, I don't know. It seems like there was a snafu in the scorekeeping there.
Jose Pastrana will check it right at the Hillcats dugout for strike one. And only one error was committed that night. Matt Chick made a throw in that ball game. I'm at a loss. The 0-1 down and away. One ball, one strike. I will keep staring at this screen.
Till it makes sense.
Till it makes sense.
Oh, no.
I have never seen that before. Tips it out the plate for strike two. Nevertheless, Pastrana over at third base tonight takes a slider right down the heart of the plate. There's one away.
Second strikeout of the game for Meyer. For the rest of the order here that will come up in this bottom of the second inning, you just can't let that fool you again, right? First time we've really seen that slider in that count, starting on the outside half, breaking back in. So Pastrano kind of takes one for the team, and there's another. But we saw something similar last game with Jacek, where he continually had good run on that sinker that was starting outside, going back to the plate, and hitters were just giving up on it for Augustine. If that happens once, okay, but you gotta make an adjustment at some point, right? And they didn't, and if you're Lynchburg, now that you've seen that pitch once, you gotta adjust.
Toronto down looking, Lexer Sadui, heading the count 2-0, as he ropes it right at the second baseman, makes it easier to play. This time, as Figueroa retires Sadui for a two.
He's ready for a hit. Number 12.
In his pocket.
Lopez.
Lopez has been boosting his average in last two ball games. He's more and more comfortable at the plate. He's back up above 250. Two home runs, 20 RBIs. First pitch, ran in tight, one ball, no strikes. Lopez, for a while, hovering in the low 200s. He's turned the corner as of late. Chops it up the middle, heading right for that second base bag, Wasowski. Fire it wide of first for Dunn, hops out of the way, make the grab, and place the tag on Lopez. And the inning is over. 1-2-3 second for Meyer.
We're at the third. $3 off during the entire third inning.
and order to any concession stand serving Rebo's beer for $3 off. Hey fans, are you looking to disconnect and enjoy a perfect getaway? Well, let me introduce you to Craft Drink Falls Campground. Campsites right out on the river, four rustic cabins and bedrooms with hot water. Craft Drink Falls Campground is your place to stay this summer. Located just an hour drive from Lynchburg, Craft Drink Falls Campground is just a half mile hike away from the tallest waterfall east of the Mississippi. Visit www.crafttreefallscampground.com to book your stay. And don't forget to buy your tower from South Park Kids Club, presented by Cooper Family McDonald's. You can find more information at the promo booth on the outer portal.
Sanchez, Figueroa, and Verdun, the top three in the order for Augusta will lead off the third inning. Still trying to figure this out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Norman Gomez and the missing bird run.
Yeah, I guess the best bet would be to go to the game day and go play by play and try to, I don't know, do some archival of what exactly happened.
What was officially ruled in the ball game? And that was a home run for
leading off the top of the third from the Green Bay, third baseman number two, Luis Sanchez.
And it still makes even less sense. First pitch is in there to Sanchez for a called strike. Well, I guess, no, even that doesn't make any sense. Because you could argue that if you rebuild an inning, that this is why one ball, one strike, and a runner reaches with two outs, that you could argue, make an argument, I'm not saying it's correct, that anything after that, it should be an unearned run. At least for an extended period of time. But the error that was made in the third inning before the home run was with one out. When the runner stole second, a double would move him to third before he would come out on a sacrifice fly. And then the home run.
And then there was another home run later in the game?
Well, no, there was a home run in the first inning.
Okay.
It's the third inning. It makes zero sense.
If there's two home runs that were home runs, it is impossible for there only to be one run charged to him. It just doesn't make sense.
I'm so lost. Sanchez grounds it to short. Aldewey fires it over towards first, and there's one away here in the third inning. I have texted the Carolina League broadcasters group chat to see if anybody can provide an explanation. This conundrum.
Yeah.
And we will report back.
We assembled the greatest minds the Carolina League has to offer on this.
Let's not get too carried away. Jason Kemp still works in here. Love Jason Kemp down in Charleston. Pastrana will make the long throw across the diamond. Anyway, two quick outs for Gomez. Settling in here in the third.
This is what it looks like when Gomez is settling in. He's playing to contact on the ground, pounding the bottom half of the strike zone, getting rollovers. He's not, again, going to be a guy that fills up the strikeouts. The most he's had in the game was 7, and that was really an outlier. So this is a good sign for Gomez.
Breaking ball. Misses down on the way to Verdun. 1-0. Verdun batting .208, one home run, 15 RBIs. He reached on a fielder's choice, but he grounded it over toward first with the infield pulled in. He came home, trying to get the lead runner. Wasn't in time. 1-1.
Staying on the topic of home runs, Gomez has gotten hurt by the homer a lot this season. That's when he's elevating pitches. When he's living in the bottom of the strike zone, he's doing his best work. The ball starts to leak up towards the middle and upper part of the plate, he can really get hurt just because his stuff isn't all that deceptive in that way.
That one's lined in the left field as he lifts a little bit higher in the strike zone there. And Verdun will reach with a two-out single.
Right fielder, number 46, Bryson Worrell.
Bryson Worrell. 0 for 1. Go out to center field.
Verdun has been one of the few Green Jackets who's had a good day, or a good series, rather, at the plate. That's his fourth hit so far in Lynchburg.
First pitch misses down low for ball one to Worrell. Worrell, another guy who's been hitting pretty well in this series. He got assigned to Augusta on Tuesday and then made the start that night. Does have two RBIs this week. 1-0, this one he skies. Third base side, Aldewey will give way to Pastrano, who makes the play at short. The final out of the inning. So the two-out single by Verdun does no damage at the third. 1-0 advantage for Augusta right here in the
midst. If you're suffering from painful condition, he can help. Give Dr. Rick Jeanette a call at 434-239-9077. That's 434-239-9077. Or visit us at 20607 Timberlake Road, across from the Baker Lot. Hillcats, be sure to vote for your favorite Hillcats this year for a chance to win the new walk, courtesy of Arthur's Tools. Visit our promo code above section 5 to get your votes to make your entry in the contest. The winner will be announced and presented with the launch during Fan Appreciation Night on September 1st.
Hey, we'd like to take the time to welcome all our groups to Major James Stadium, L&R Precision Cooling, MBI McLean, Foxley, Impact Living Services, Chicana Flooring Master Church, Word of Life Evangelical Church, and a happy birthday to Ben Everhart, turning 7.
Nothing advantage for Augusta as we head to the bottom half of the third inning. Adam Meyer has pitched well so far today. We got into a little bit of trouble in the first inning, but really no fault of his own. He can have to hit with an air, allowed to get all the way to third base. Fielder's choice, cutting down the runner at home.
And you talked about how the Green Jackets have had a propensity to commit errors. They lead the league with 90 now in 60 games, and they've made at least one error every single game this series.
Lynchburg at this point in time will be needing more, as they still have yet to pick up a hit. Aldewey, the last man to bat. In the order, ninth man, I guess you could argue, will be Aldewey, Hawk, and Napchuk. That's a two-strike pitch to Meyer. It's fouled at the plate. Aldewey, wearing number 7, is ironic because he was signed to the same class as the former Hillcat to wear number 7, Angel Hanel. It's a two-strike pitch. It's a high, 1-ball, 2 strikes.
Today he's taking his usual spot here in the Bengals James Stadium, like shortstop.
1-2, called strike 3, and there's that backdoor slider again to left-handed hitters. Meyer has that.
Yeah, you can't give up on that pitch. You have to fight that off, even if you're just fouling it off the other way. You know it's going to be coming sooner rather than later to a lineup chock full of lefties. It's a good pitch against them especially. We haven't seen him look to go inside with it. He's been staying outside, and it's been working. The Hillcats hitters are just completely giving up on it.
Tommy Hawk digs in, and he takes out wide for ball one. Hawk 0 for 1. Exactly right, Connor. Hillcats hitters seem to be giving up on that slider. Wonder if the scouting report says to sit on the fastball. Or the sinker, rather. That slider is fouled away. 1-1 by Tommy Hawk.
Yeah, you can do that when you're up in the count, and they should, because the slider's good. And when you got to protect, be aware, it's coming.
Well, you know one guy who's going to protect, and that's Tommy Hawk. Missed out by 2 balls and a strike.
He's going to that slider often, though, not just in 2-strike counts. He clearly has a good feel for it.
That was comfortable and confident pitching. Drafted out of the University of Oregon. There for strike 2-2. And as you mentioned, he hadn't made that many appearances. Only 3 before he suffered a season-ending elbow injury. 2-2. Ran it inside. Full count and Hawk has worked the count. Also a good at-bat for him.
The Braves liked what they saw enough to take a chance on him in the 7th round. And so far, it looks like a good call.
Payoff pitch over towards short. Backhanded by Olszewski. Bang bang plant first with a Sunday got him. That was close. Not much of an argument from Tommy Hawk. Erlen Surter probably made a passive comment or two.
I really thought he was safe there.
I did too.
I think Olszewski thought he had more time than he had. Kind of was lackadaisical with his gather.
Hawk is sneaky fast. Now Chick grounds at foul first base.
Travis Blankford, please report to the promo booth. Travis Blankford, please report to the promo booth.
You probably don't look at him and say, oh, that guy's got burners. Mm-hmm. But he gets down that line in a hurry. He just puts his head down every single time. Takes off. Christian Napchick. Yeah, his second opportunity at the plate. He walked in his first plate appearance, but now down 0-2.
Yeah, that's a sinker swing on a slider there. Right over the top of it.
Now Napchick will have to protect the 2-strike pitch. Went back door with that slider and didn't get the call this time. 1-2. That one just a bit wider off the edge. Right idea by Meyer. This slider hung up a little bit higher. Napchick just spoils it away.
Probably the worst slider of the day so far. Not necessarily in break, just in location. Leaked back over near the middle and was elevated.
Burke trailing it 1-0. Bottom of the 3rd inning. Try it again at 1-2 on Christian Napchick as he spoils it.
That's what I was talking about in his first at bat. It was a 5-pitch block in the first inning, but now you really see him just fight.
The 1-2 yet again. Down in the dirt. 2 balls and 2 strikes, but with the changeup.
Yeah, he forces you to dig a little deeper in the bag, right? You gotta use everything against Christian Napchick.
He's pesky. Pesky hitter pops it up first base side and it heads toward the Augusta bullpen and land out of play. A really good at bat here. 7 pitches already.
Up to 43 pitches now for Meyer.
No counts. Probably thinking, let's get to the bullpen as quickly as possible.
For sure. He looks like he's got his ace stuff.
Napchick doing everything he can to help him. 2-2. Fouled it away. That one probably could have even hit him with how far inside that one was. The slider that just kept running in and in on the hands.
Meyer probably wants to continue to keep that pitch away, I'd say. He throws it inside and the Hillcats ready for it. Look out.
2-2. Went fastball. Napchick checked on it. The appeal, he did not go around. Full count. Everyone in Augusta made the motion toward the dugout. And now a 10-pitch at-bat for Christian Napchick, just what the doctor ordered for the Hillcats. Payoff. And he wins the battle. Backdoor slider misses low. For the second time tonight, Christian Napchick draws a walk. That was a pro inning.
It was. It was. He was able to battle back, work it full. But, you know, that slider there, that looks pretty similar to pitches that I think have been rung up. Hillcats have been rung up on. Maybe I was a little bit off on the placement. But, pitching coach for the Green Jackets. Elvin Nina will head out to talk things over with Meyer. He might be a little flustered after not getting two back-to-back calls that were pretty darn close. I honestly thought Napchik was cooked on both of them.
I'll say the exact same thing, that he might be flustered. This is a good mild reading for Elvin Nina. Because after a long at-bat like that, your instinctive nature could be, I'm just going to pound and zone with fastballs and try to get strikes. But on Tunez, he's not one that's just going to sit and watch a fastball go by.
No.
And so I'm sure Nina was telling Meyer, hey, you still have to be deceptive. Goes with a slider for a first pitch strike.
Like, that looks like a very similar spot to me, to the pitch that Napchik just got ball four on. Maybe the Napchik pitch was lower, and that was the difference?
I think that's exactly what it was. One was low, one was a little bit higher in the zone. That one was near the dirt. One and one.
We're almost seeing primarily off-speed now from Meyer. Second time through the order, mixing things up.
We're on first, two down. 1-1. Broken bat, shallow left. Boucher will charge in and make the grab. The inning is over. We head to the fourth. Lynchburg trails at 1-0.
Their first inning.
We'll be right back with Connor Young leading the way.
Pony hop. We've got Travis and Luke over here. They are going to hop on these ponies all the way to Southpaw. And the first one wins. You guys ready? Pony hop. Get set. Go! Let's cheer them on, guys. Come on. Oh, look. Come on. You got to keep going. Travis is in the lead by a long shot. Luke's trying to make a comeback here. Travis is almost there, and Travis does it. Congratulations, Travis and Luke. Legacy Wealth Management, not just a plan for your money, but a plan for your life.
Welcome back to the Bank of the James Stadium, where we're looking around the Carolina League scoreboard. Carolina, they trail Fredericksburg 4-2, middle third. Fredericksburg was able to take their first game of the series yesterday in Game 3 on their way to doing the same in Game 4. A lot of baseball to be played still, of course. Here in Lynchburg, it's a 1-0 Augusta lead as we head toward the top of the fourth. Down east of Charleston, no score in the bottom of the second, and that can be said all the way down the board in the Carolina League. Annapolis, Delmarva, Columbia, Myrtle Beach, Salem, Fayetteville, all with goose eggs. Harry Owen up to the plate for Augusta to lead off the fourth. He's 0-1. So one deep to center. Tracking back is the center fielder Hawk. Just a couple steps shy of the track for a first pitch out. Start off the top of the fourth inning. I don't know about Yorman Gomez's pitch count, which is still in a manageable spot. That's just his 42nd pitch of the outing. He records first down to the fourth. Robert Gonzalez. Technically, according to the score book of now, reached on a single. Then was thrown out by Juan Benjamin, who threw it right back down to the shortstop, Fran Aldui, at second base, who applied the tag to Gonzalez to retire him, but Aldui was the one who threw it behind Benjamin, the first baseman, and off behind the padding, which allowed Gonzalez to reach first safely. Gomez is having more success against him here in his second plate appearance as he gets ahead 0-2. The 0-2 offer. Close on the outside half. And we've seen that side of the plate get shut down a bit by Reginald Webb. Meyer felt that one inning ago. Gomez feeling a squeeze now. The 1-2. Inside-out swing go out of play. For Lynchburg, their starting pitchers have had a lot of success this series. Two shutouts in three games played to this point. And the strikeout's been a big reason why. Looking for his second, Yermán Gómez, and he'll find it. Robert Gonzalez goes down swinging. The second punch out of the outing for Gómez. And for me, that's a big key. Especially against Augusta, it's a free swinging team that does not necessarily value contact over power or impact. And the K has been killing the Jackets all series long. It's allowed Hillcats pitchers' jobs to be a lot easier, as they've been feasting on swing and miss prone hitters all up and down the Augusta lineup. Gómez, not typically a pitcher that's going to really rely on that, but it's certainly something that would help him out against this lineup especially. Count evens up at 1-1 to Noah Williams. He bats 200 on the season. Reached first base via the single. He's 1-for-1 in the top of the second and made his way all the way to third on two straight bombs from Yermán Gómez. The 1-1 count. Two down here in the top of the fourth. Kick fire. Grounded softly. Benjamin, the first baseman, will flip back to Gómez, covering the bag a little awkwardly, but he makes a toe tap on the inside part of first base to record the out. 1-2-3, go down the Green Jackets without too much trouble as the Lynchburg Hillcats trail 1-0 into the bottom of the fourth.
The fielder's choice, or the fielder's choice, the sacrifice fly, should have been the third out in the inning. So therefore, anything beyond that.
So that should have been the third out of the inning. The umpires missed it. They kept playing.
No, no, no.
So, all right, guys, it's time to see those early lines. Let's see them.
And then, since the runner scored on a sacrifice fly, that should have been the third out of the inning.
Okay.
Instead of the second out of the inning. So then, because it was going to second out, the home run counts.
Okay. We're going to have to explain that one. So I can toss it to you when you're ready.
All right. Let me finish up this chicken tender, and I'll hop on.
Sounds good.
There we go. Hey, guys. You can see yourself on TV right now. Let me see your teeth. No? Okay.
Adam Meyer has gone three innings strong, two walks, three strikeouts, not a single hit against him to this point. He has shut down his Hillcats lineup, and his ERA has dipped under four already. He's still got some length in that arm, although Christian Knapchik did a number on the pitch count over 10 pitches in that at-bat for the second baseman, which he would end up drawing a walk. However, Wilfredo Antunez would end the bottom of the third with a flyout. Seems like we have an answer on the strange Yermán Gómez down east appearance, Jason.
Well, I was making fun of Jason Kemp just a few minutes ago, and he's proved me wrong. He has entered into the Carolina League broadcaster's chat and gave us an explanation for how you can have two home runs, only one earned run, as since that inning had both an error and a sacrifice fly. The error allowed the what should have been the second out of the inning to reach base. And the sacrifice fly occurred that scored the runner who reached on an error.
Right.
That should have been out number three.
Right, because of the error.
But since it was out number two,
yeah.
Everything beyond that is an unearned run.
Manuel Mejias off the handle, inside out swing towards the corner. Making the play, it's a left fielder Boucher, and he's going to throw it to the cutoff man, but not for Mejias. Slides in with a double. Quick like a cat for the catcher. He had a stolen base earlier in this series, and he hustled down the line for extra bases.
Nice swing by Manuel Mejias. He didn't try to do too much, just took it the opposite way. Picked up.
That'll bring up Juan Benjamin, who had his six-game hit streak snapped last night. He only had one chance to extend it. He pinch hit Rafael Ramirez Jr., who was making his first appearance back from injury, and he's swinging at the first pitch, 91 miles an hour on a sinker. That pitch started at the knees of Benjamin and ended up almost needing to be blocked by the catcher, Owen. There's a lot of sinking action on that pitch. Benjamin 0-1 with a strikeout so far today. Lynchburg leads the series 2-1. They trail 1-0 here in game 4 in the bottom of the 4th inning. Although Manuel Mejia says, found the first hit of the game for Lynchburg, and his extra base is a double to lead off the inning. Juan Benjamin down in the count. 2 strikes. Meyer will regroup. Coming into today, Green Jackets were shut out in back-to-back games. It didn't take them long to finally break that streak. Just in the top of the first, they lodged the first and only run so far today. Meyer goes to the inside part of the zone with a sinker. Benjamin watches it by. 1-2 count to the first baseman. He's slotted into that role today with Ralphie Velasquez getting the night off. The 1-2, tipped. Into the glove of the catcher, Owen. That'll be strikeout number 4 for Meyer. He continues to pitch really well, and that's a big strikeout. And Manuel Mejias is not allowed to advance to third base. And bottom of the order for Lynchburg has yet to put up too much of a fight through just one at-bat apiece. Pastrano, Sadui, Lopez, and Aldui all have been set down. First pitch swinging for Pastrano. Straight back. Up and over the suites directly above our broadcast booth. The 0-1. Swung on. Missed by Pastrano. He'll have to battle back in the count after another Hillcat hitter finds themselves down in the count 0-2 early. Meyer really getting ahead after the leadoff double for Mejias. Strano calls time.
This is a situation that the Hillcats have to be able to capitalize. Have a runner in scoring position. You got it with nobody out. He was a leadoff hitter. You have to be able to move him over and get him in. That's basic baseball 101.
Strano 0-6 in the series. Round one of the first baseman, Verdung, off the heel of the glove. Being sent around is Mejias. That ball's in shallow right field. He'll score with no throw. You know, the first base position for Augusta is vacant. It's a hodgepodge mix of infielders they keep throwing over to the right side to cover first base. Ben Olsovsky, Ben Verdung, both primary middle infielders. And it's continued to be a sore spot for Augusta, and it cost him a run right there.
Yeah, Verdung just tried to go with the backhand, and instead of knocking it down, it caught him on the heel. And ended up in right field, so it wasn't perfect, and it wasn't beautiful, but it did put a run on the board for the Hillcats, and now we're all lined up at one apiece, and it's a brand new ball game.
In a series where runs are very hard to come by. Lexer Sadui dodges a sinker in at the knees for ball one. Sadui hit not one, but 2 home runs against the Salem Red Sox in the Hillcats' last homestand in the month of May. He has 2 long balls driven on the season. Good slider. Comes back around the plate for strike one to even the count up. Robert Lopez waits on deck. So Dewey 0-1, he grounded out to second in his first plate appearance. So Dewey taps one. Straight back. Even up the count at 2-2. Meyer up to 65 pitches now. He's getting up there. And Lynchburg finally has been able to scratch something across the righty. He has looked really solid. You can see why he is the 18th ranked prospect in the Braves farm system. The 2-2 count. We'll move full.
It's pretty interesting. Despite all the errors that Augusta has committed, only in two games has he allowed an unearned run of any sort of time besides the one that happened today.
He's been one of the few beneficiaries of some good fielding, it appears. So Dewey squares one up. It just goes foul. Erlen Cerda has a different opinion. As Hadoui now will make his way halfway up the first baseline. Jordan Smith closes in on the other side of the diamond, and the fans here in the Bangla James Stadium all announce their opinions as well. Reginald Webb now in the middle of two angry Hillcats, one of them being Lecture Hadoui, the other third base coach and manager Jordan Smith. Hadoui will have to pick his bat up and head back in again. And am I wrong, Jason, or did Reginald Webb signal fair initially? Is that where the issue is coming? His signing was a bit unclear originally, and then I think he clarified his foul.
I am not sure whatsoever. We're going to have to go back and get a second look at this because I was busy watching whether or not it would be fair or foul.
Looked foul. The 3-2, Pastrano takes off running. Strike him out, throw him out, double play was in order. Owen pump fake twice, and Hadoui kind of meandered into what would be his path down to second base to try to gun down Pastrano. So he ends up eating the throw. Pastrano will get in scoring position. So in some ways, I guess you could say it's a productive out for Lecter Hadoui. But it's the fifth strikeout of the game so far for Meyer, five and counting. He continues to pick up more and more Ks.
It seems like Augusta has had some trouble. When they go to throw down a second, the ball keeps slipping out of their hands for both Godwin and now Owen behind the plate. Because that's happened at least three or four times.
One game ago, Lynchburg was 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position. They left seven base runners on base. Jose Pastrano is in scoring position for Robert Lopez, who has 20 RBIs on the season. Not a bad mark for the amount of playing time he's seen. Fouls off two consecutive pitches to start off the at-bat. Meyer now can do just about anything, and he's been good in two-strike counts. He's got that slider he can wrap around back door, try to square up the outside part of the zone, or he can just go heavy with the sinker. Even that pitch has gotten some swing and misses. We'll see what he decides to go with. The 0-2 to Lopez. It's the slider, and it's a good one. Strikeout number 6. The Hillcats strand Jose Pastrano at second, but they do find their first hit in the game as well as their first run. We're deadlocked at 1 here in the Hill City. Olsowski, Boucher, and Sanchez. 8-9 in the top of the order. Two up in the top of the fifth. Ramon Gomez pitches in an even game for the first time since he really took the rubber in the beginning of the first inning. Hillcats have responded in the bottom of the fourth with a long run to tie us at one apiece.
Runs have been at a premium in this series. Like, you would think that they're charging hundreds of thousands of dollars per run, but these teams are scoring. I mean, Augusta has their first run since Tuesday. And even the games that Lynchburg won, that's not really a blowout victory in either sense of the term. Here we are, tied at a 1-1 game in the fifth inning.
Olsowski bats 175. He was 0-for-3 with a strikeout yesterday. He is 0-for-1 with a strikeout today. He played first base yesterday's contest, back to his usual short here today. That's where he played in college, where he played in the Complex League for the Braves. A 1-0 count from Gomez evens it up.
Oshowski made the final out of the John Carroll Conference Championship game his senior season.
Down in the count 1-2 to Gomez. You know, sometimes for a hitter, when they're in an unusual spot, they can translate to the plate. You know what I mean? When you're playing a position like he is first base and he's a primary shortstop, that can be tough. The 1-2, he got him. Beautiful bender that looked like it fell right into the glove of Lopez, but
Lopez is living right now. I've never seen him that animated as Jordan Smith quickly out of the dugout to have some words, and they're going to discuss it.
I mean, my vantage point is not a good one for this, as it's directly behind Lopez, so I'm blocked by his back. But to me, that looked cut and dry right into the glove. So taking another look quickly here in a moment, as it is changed. So Cameron Jones gives his 2 cents, and it clearly is in agreement with Robert Lopez and Jordan Smith. There will be a strikeout.
I believe that Reginald Webb just went up to Robert Lopez and said, "Hey man, sorry about that. Completely missed it." Because you can tell that they were having an extended discussion after they changed the call. Lopez seemed to say, "It's okay, it happens." Probably included a "don't let it happen again."
If you're a catcher, you gotta have that good relationship with the umpire. It can help out. Your pitcher would certainly appreciate it.
Well, in the past couple games, we've seen Manuel Mejias come out there. You have to wish him a delayed happy birthday as he aged a year older yesterday. But when he was the bullpen catcher or out of the game entirely, waiting for Robert Lopez to get his gear on, he'd go out there and catch for the pitcher that was getting loose. And he would shake the hands of both the umpires, even if he had to go out of his way to do so. That's the type of the relationship that you want, because as much as you don't want to admit it, there is a human element to the game of baseball, and if they like you, they get the benefit of the doubt.
Certainly. 1-2 count after it was fouled off the shin of Robert Lopez. Gomez has 3 strikeouts. Olsovsky's been 2 of them. To go inside to Boucher, we'll even up the count. Boucher had a really rough April. He's been better in May and June, although the numbers don't exactly replicate that, as his average is at 208. The 2-2. Spiked. About 2 feet or so in front of home plate, it looked like. Almost closer to the grass of the infield than home plate itself. Easy take for Boucher. That was a curveball that just snapped. Not in a good way. Full count to P.O. Boucher. Got him again! Back-to-back strikeouts, as it took a while, but the swing and miss for the Green Jackets rears it up its ugly head once again.
The Hillcats have had the strikeout pitch working the last couple ball games. 15 on Wednesday, 16 on Thursday. And right now, they only have 4, but Gomez starting to piece things together. He's got 3 in the last 4 batters.
Yeah, only 4 so far for Gomez, but they've come in bunches. This is fouled down the third baseline, pulled by Sanchez. And it's like you said, 3 of the last 4 gone down via the keg. For Sanchez, 1-for-2. He let up the game with a single, came around to score the lone run of the game for Augusta. This time he'll bat with 2 down in the top of the 5th. Tapped again, foul. Gomez starting to settle in here. You can tell confidence has been gained on the bump for the righty from Coro Venezuela. The right-hander looks in. Pauses at the belt, kicks and fires way outside, 90 miles an hour elevated.
You know, sometimes it takes getting punched in the mouth to wake a guy up, and that might be what happened with Gomez. He got punched in the mouth in the first inning, and since then he's been a lot sharper.
The 1-2, stung, fielded by the second baseman Napchik, who spins on the outfield grass and makes the play. 3 up, three and out. We said that in back-to-back innings for Yermán Gómez, as he's able to keep this Green Jackets offense scuffling. Can the Hillcats offense pick it up? They coming off an inning where they scored their first of the ball game. They look to make it back-to-back runs on the board. Strikeouts, a DRA of 383. Exit one, Adam. Enter another. This time it's a lefty. He's a whole lot taller. Adam Shoemaker into the game. The Hillcats will have to deal with a southpaw after struggling with a righty. Maybe the change in handedness can help out the Lynchburg Hillcats, who have been held to just one hit so far through four innings.
Shoemaker, who have made an appearance for Augusta today are no longer with the ball club. It's about 32 innings, 47 strikeouts, 46 walks.
Brennell Dewey watches a fastball at 91. Low for a ball. The 1-0 is a looping breaking ball at 78. So that's a disparity in speed there. 91 on the heater, 78 on the curve. 1-1. Curve again, back to the inside half. Time of ball.
He is a long, lengthy left-hander. He's 6'6", 205. But just the way his motion is delivered, it looks a lot more arm than anything else.
Yeah, for a guy as big as him, for him to get around his body like that, it almost looks like he's moving in slow motion a little bit. The 2-2. Spiked at a fastball or a changeup, excuse me, at 80 miles an hour. So the count will go full to the Hillcats shortstop today. Shoemaker, his last outing was fantastic. Three innings, one hit, eight strikeouts. So 8 of 9 outs recorded were punchouts. His best outing of the season. The full count. The strikeout for Sadui, who almost falls on his backside after an uncomfortable swing. He's had two of them. As he's been retired via the strikeout in both of his two plate appearances, as the order will flip around Tommy Ott.
Good pitch by Shoemaker. You can tell what he feels comfortable with, and that's breaking stuff. He dropped a curve on him. Round number one.
Tommy Hawk, 0 for 2. 9 outs, 8 strikeouts. Shoemaker's last appearance. Open to keep the good times moving into Lynchburg. Tommy Hawk has something to say about that. He's on base percentage at 370, slugging percentage 333, the average at 269. It dropped under 270 where it entered this week. But he's worked a 3-0 count to Shoemaker. How different has this at-bat been from what we saw lead off the inning? 3-0 right down the middle. Tommy Hawk taking all the way. Now he's ready to hit. You know, if he gets the breaking ball like that, dead center, it's going to be grip and rip time. The 3-1. was a breaking ball. It was center, however, placed on the outside. It was placed perfectly by Shoemaker. Tommy Hawk didn't like the call, but it's full. Southpaw gets the side. The 3-2. Tap right back to him. Could be a tough play. He'll gather and throw, but not in time. And past the first baseman, Verdung. Tommy Hawk's off to the races. He'll catch his helmet as it goes behind him. No, he won't. Can't make the play. But he's safe at second anyways. As Tommy Hawk, lightning in a bottle.
I think that's going to be a single in there. Hawk, that's a tough play. Going down that first base line. He had to hurry his throw. Rushed him right into right field. And from that angle, he got lucky. Because that could have gone all the way into the corner had it not hit the area that juts out.
Christian Napchik will take a swing in the first pitch. You know, whenever you see your reliever have to make a play like that, you're a little nervous. There's not many relief pitchers that field their position exceptionally well. Not Shoemaker's proudest play, as Tommy Hawk will lead off second. Christian Napchik, the rare 0-for-0 so far after two walks. Tommy Hawk takes off for third. He's in there. Great jump from Hawk, as he had Shoemaker read the whole way.
Looked like he left before Shoemaker even made up his mind on what he was going to throw. That's how quickly of a jump he was able to pick up. Shoemaker with just that long arm delivery. Takes him a while to get all the way through.
14th stolen base for Tommy Hawk. Shallow grounder to the second baseman. Figueroa, who makes the throw to the catcher Owen, and it was a good one. The tag slapped on the back of Tommy Hawk, who's a little slow to get up and limping back to the dugout. He's been banged up with injury, and he certainly looks a little ragged after that play. Nonetheless, it's the second time that a runner at third base has been gunned down by the infield in for the Hillcats. This one a little less egregious than the Christian Napchik play, but certainly still stinks. Antunez, eager as ever, swings through a curveball for the first strike.
Another run left standing. The Hillcats just missed out. It's a bang-bang play at the plate. It was a good slide by Hawk, but even better tag by Owens. Antunez rips that today.
Antunez down the corner. That ball is just, and I mean just, barely fair. Or foul, excuse me. As Jordan Smith was hopping up in disappointment slash unbelief. As Antunez is probably going to have triple number 7. Which would have tied him for the most triples in the Carolina League. For some reason, he is just a triples machine. A couple inches away from another there.
He runs with no abandon. He just takes off, and it doesn't matter who's standing in his way, he's going to take you out. I mean, Antunez, he's about as hard of a runner as you'll find. Tommy Hawk is a hard runner. Antunez, man, he puts his head down and gets going. There's no stopping him. He's thinking three out of the box every time he gets the opportunity.
He really is. Find himself in another 0-2 count, this time against Adam Shoemaker. Signs to lay off. 92-mile-an-hour fastball.
Haven't seen many of those. See if he goes back to the curveball.
Two down. 1-2 count. 1-1 ball game. The 1-2 to Antunez is real close, but the outside half of the plate has continued to be no-go zone for home plate umpire Reginald Webb. That one was a little off. Not a bad pitch for Shoemaker. 2-2. Two down. Make it 3. Adam Shoemaker navigates through trouble as the Green Jackets continue to squirm away from Lynchburg with runners just 90 feet away. So we remain tied in a low-scoring pitching battle. That's just been the story of this series so far in the city.
Bull Run Center is $2 off during the entire sixth inning. Head over to any concession stand serving Bull Run Center for $2 off.
All right, see you take a hold of it. It's time to get your seat. I need one for protection. I got some money to get away. 50 bucks, then I have to make a change into your seat. A little walk. Hopefully you're in your seat because I've had it a couple of times.
Well, they're not. You're looking for something to do tonight after the intro for those kickballs for $5 from playing in shorts. Your chance to win some great prizes. Bart Eileen's great jersey shirt, Jason Servio. We're giving those away to our 500 fans. You can take it to LynchburgJumpCast.com. Next chance to play. We're going to see this here. Here's all in section three. Row A, and this is not looking good, but it might be looking good for you guys tomorrow. We're going to go to section C five. Callahan family is not here tonight, but if you're here tomorrow night and you're in your seat, you can win $25 from Bank of the Day. So
alongside Jason Brill, Connor Young with you. We approach the top of the sixth. Taking a look at the box score. Augusta, they've scored one. That came to the top of the first after their leadoff man, Luis Sanchez, got aboard. Lynchburg, it took them all the way till the fourth. They scratched one across. You can thank Manuel Mejia for the heavy lifting. He led off the inning with a double. Three hits for Augusta, two for Lynchburg, two errors for the Green Jackets, two for the Hellcats. German Gomez will get set for his prospective sixth inning if he could go through the entirety of the sixth. Laker Figueroa be the first man he's got to get through. Figueroa swings at the first pitch, tips it, doesn't get too far from Lopez.
I would assume Gomez can get through this sixth inning as long as nothing egregious happens. He's only had 65 pitches to this point. Right? Lynchburg typically allows their starters to go about 85,
engagement
to 90 at this point.
Figueroa checks on a curveball that was in the zone. He'll call timeout. He's down in the count 0-2. He's 0-2 today. Fly out and a ground out. Gomez leads the team in wins with 5. Ranks within the top 10 of the Carolina League in the same category. The 0-2. High. Ball 1. Gomez has the second most wins recorded out of any starter in the Carolina League this season. Without a lot of insurance, it's unlikely he'll find his sixth. The 1-2, tap back to the pitcher Gomez. He'll gather and make the flip to Benjamin for the first out. As that's now 7 straight outs recorded for Gomez. He's really settled in.
That was a nice season play for Gomez. Exactly the opposite of what Shoemaker did in the bottom half of the inning when he fired it up the first base on Gomez. But he did have a little bit more time. He gathered, looked, took his time, made a nice, soft, easy throw to Benjamin. And right now, with the way the sun is, now it's behind the cloud. It's hard for those first basemen to try to reel in the baseballs because the sun is just beating down.
Especially first basemen who are middle infield, which Juan Benjamin and Will Verdun both are. That'll bring up Will Verdun, who been one of the more consistent bats in the lineup this series for Augusta. He's 3-for-5 on the series with 2 RBIs. Had 3 RBIs in their last series as well. So he's starting to be a driving force of this offense after they have to get used to life without Grady and Compton. They're 2 big hitters in this lineup through the majority of this season. 0-2 count to Verdun. The 0-2. He thought about it. Almost got him to bite. It was a curveball that Verdun certainly thought twice about. He makes the right choice. Keeps the bat on the shoulder. It's a 1-2 count. A kick and fire from the righty. Goes back to the breaker. Same result.
Verdun's a guy that has quite a bit of baseball experience underneath his belt. And he played college ball at a community college. Itawamba Community College, and then was slated to go to Southern Miss before being drafted, but decided to pursue his professional career.
He draws a count full. They'll check down to Cameron Jones, but Verdun was not close to going all the way around, so he worked a good at-bat, and maybe even more importantly, drives up that pitch count for Gomez, which is now over 70 pitches at 73. The payoff with one down. Sent over the head of Napchick into shallow center field. It's a laser of a single, his second, in back-to-back at-bats.
That's what I was saying about experience. When you lose guys,
young
guys sometimes have a harder time adjusting. But older guys, especially if they went to a community college, you're losing guys all the time. Transfers, in and out, injuries, stuff like that. And you have to be comfortable, and you have to be able to step up and step in. And he's been able to do that this series for the Green Jackets. It's already a two-hit performance for him.
Gomez will throw over. This time, Benjamin able to corral the throw. Bring up Wilbur Dunn. There should be Bryson Morrell, who's 0 for 2. You know, minor league baseball, one of the few sports where you can, at times, have to retool your roster mid-season. And I think that's the stage the Green Jackets find themselves in. And to be honest with you, I don't think they're in a horrible spot. His first pitch to Morrell will be outside for a ball. You got Isaiah Drake, a reliable leadoff man. Wilbur Dunn, who's coming around with some more consistent playing time. Bryson Morrell, who's got limited but some AAA experience, which is pretty hard to come by in the Carolina League. Not to mention Cedonio, who's been a good power bat in this lineup. So you got four hitters right there that, you know, have some promise.
And apart from hitting, their pitching's been really solid this whole series. And even going back, this is a pretty good pitching staff. It's not... The talent on this team is not necessarily what the record goes to show for Augusta. I mean, they're still young. Obviously, guys like Drake, you want them to come around. You want them to start piecing things together. Even Verdun, sometimes they just need more reps. They need everyday reps. And the big worry for me for Augusta is their fielding, is their defense. How are they going to adjust deeper in the season, long day for summer, when you have to bend down and field another ground ball yet again? They're struggling right now. They lead the league in errors. And the way that they've played this series is only going to climb. Unless they make something seriously different in their approach to fielding, they're going to be one of the worst fielding teams in the all of minor league baseball, probably.
Yeah, they only have 11 errorless games played this season. 2-0 count to Bryson Morrell. Skied into center. Tommy Hawk has it in his tracks. He'll make the grab for the second out of the inning. That one hung up there high in the blue Lynchburg sky as it's that classic sunset starts to fall. Oh, got a little wild left to go before we are once again able to bask in beautiful sunset over the Blue Ridge Mountains once again here in the Hill City. You're two down, fresh count to Harry Owen. Wilbur Dunn still remains at first after his one-out single. Gomez pitch count nearing 80. This would probably be his last hitter regardless of the outcome. The 0-1 finds the hole in between the first baseman Benjamin and Napchik, who is holding the bag. If there's any solace in that result for Gomez, it was a quick at-bat, which might earn him another hitter.
We'll see what they let him do here. Jordan Smith seems like he's going to stick with him for at least one more batter. There is an arm getting loose in the bullpen for the Hillcats. I can't see who it is. And it's not shocking me here that Gomez is going to get a chance to get out of this sixth inning.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a pitcher in this rotation who's going to get an 80 pitch count on a start, it's probably Gomez. Richardson also comes to mind. They've been in Lynchburg for a couple seasons. They've proven that they have the durability to withstand starts like this. Just one out left to get. The hit count for Augusta has ballooned up to 5 in the game. 0-2 count to Gonzalez. He swings through an off-speed pitch low in the zone for Gomez. It's a good one. Tantalizing. Gonzalez obliges. Gomez just one strike away from getting out of the inning. Redung leads off second. The 0-2, strike 3! Gomez once again battles through as he has all season long. He's been a grinder, an innings eater, and a fighter. And he secures Lynchburg with a 1-1 tie heading into the home half of the sixth inning.
25 seconds. He gets all the way behind second base. Take up the seat of the box and make all the way back. He's got his Crocs and Sportbone. He's ready to go. He needs you guys to cheer him on. Here we go. Very ready. 3, 2, 1, go! Make some noise, guys. Come on. Cheer him on. There we go.
Shoemaker back out there for his respective second inning. It was the sixth inning in game two where Lynchburg came alive. 4 runs they scored in the bottom of the sixth, and they're going to be tasked with doing something similar here. They have plenty of time, but you would like to put something on the board before you approach the 7th, 8th, especially the 9th. And it's been a theme for Lynchburg. The second time they've seen a reliever, they've had more success characteristically this season and also in this series.
Yeah, Lynchburg has done a pretty good job laying ball games. Second time through the order, so they have a lot of their success. I don't know how long Shoemaker's going to be able to go, but Wildcats are hoping that they can piece things together.
Manuel Mejias skies one into shallow center field. Grab made by Gonzalez, so an unenthusiastic start to the inning. Mejias doubled in the bottom of the fourth. Now saddled with a 1-for-3 day to this point. After he's recorded or retired. After just one pitch from Shoemaker, he's gone 21 pitches. 2 strikeouts. Benjamin, he'll swing away. Pull one to the left of Jordan Smith, the third base coach. Early on a 90-mile-an-hour fastball on the inside half of the plate, it crowded Benjamin. He'll swing again, this time the outside part of the plate in a breaking ball. Benjamin, 2 strikeouts on his line. That's really where the lion's share of the issues have come for Benjamin. Much like the Augusta Green Jackets, he's been prone to the swing and miss. He's got 51 strikeouts on the season now, the first Hillcat to breach the 50 strikeout mark. The 1-2 to him. He'll stay alive, foul it off his foot and head to the dirt. Lynchburg is not a team that strikes out very often at all.
His weakness is behind fastball.
Yeah.
He chases after that way more than most. Just can't lay off of it. His eyes light up. He's already been able to turn on one. And that's where pitchers were getting him early in the season. Now that he's getting more everyday reps, he's seeing more than just a high fastball. So he's been able to piece better at-bats together.
The 1-2 from Shoemaker. Benjamin once again spits on it. Lynchburg, 503 strikeouts in the season. The second least amount in the Carolina League. You know, we talked a lot about the Carolina Mudcats and why they've been so good. Here's another reason. They have 463 strikeouts, the least amount. 50 less than the Hillcats, who are the second best team in that regard. As Benjamin, after swinging at the first two pitches, works it full. The payoff to Juan Benjamin. Got him. Spinning like a top as he corkscrews his spikes into the dirt. Ends up looking at his own dugout by the time his follow-through has concluded. As he he's set down for the third straight time, and Shoemaker has really picked up right where Meyer left off to start this ballgame.
Meyer was incredible, four innings, only allowing the one hit. So far, Shoemaker is matched, and we're looking at one as well.
Jose Pastrano will continue the theme of first pitch swinging, and once again, it's to no effect. As Shoemaker gets through the inning without much struggle, Juan Benjamin puts up a bit of a fight, but he goes down via the strikeout. 1-1 ball game. We head towards the seventh. We're going at a record pace here in the Hill City.
Fans, at this time, we'd like to honor those that are or have served in our nation's military. If you are currently serving or are a veteran, we ask that you please rise so we can show you our appreciation.
Brenny Artiles, the new pitcher on the mound, who can close the look on Romel Gomez.
Fans, both road backs are on the mound now. $5 back, ball seat back, and a chance to win up to $100 at the end of the game.
It has, and the homer have been an issue for Artiles. He gave up two in his last outing against Del Marco. He rubbed up for five earned runs, two blocks, three strikeouts. Probably his worst relief outing of the season. And in May, he was phenomenal. ERA of 2.77, but couple bad outings against Salem and Delmarva as of late have tainted his stat line.
Artiles was one of the most consistent pitchers out of the bullpen, though he was benefited by a slew of unearned runs, just like Norman Gomez was this season. His unearned numbers, he's given up 12 of them have been earned. That's 11 unearned runs that have been tied to his docket. Gomez had 9, as we mentioned, but Tilez in significantly fewer innings, just under 24. 1-1 to Williams. His broken bat came right back to the pitcher, did the barrel. Benjamin will take it himself. Tilez had a do-si-do his way around him. Spinning barrel.
Yeah, that's when a bat becomes shrapnel. Luckily, Tilez well clear of it. Benjamin able to make the play on his own. A lot of soft contact going from the first baseman Benjamin today. And a lot of rollovers. And Artiles starts the inning with one of his own as he just puts that fastball in on the hands of Noah Williams, who's just handcuffed.
He needed to take a big breath there. It's a little bit scary when you see a giant piece of wood flying right at you. So Olsonski will swing through the first pitch for strike one. Sosky 0-for-2 with two strikeouts. The Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania native, graduate of John Carroll University. He is heralded as one of the best players in John Carroll history. I texted Logan Potoski, the broadcaster for Lake County, late yesterday, asked if he had any information that he could pass along on Olsonski. This down and away, 2 balls and 1 strike. To say I got a lot of information in return, I got about 7 or 8 paragraph-long text messages of information and details about how, not just how good of a baseball player he is, but how great of a guy he is. He lost it in the left field. Sliding grab by Sadoui, and he held on.
great sliding grab for Sindhu as he came onto that ball in a hurry. Had a great jump. He read it off the bat perfectly. He knew it was dying fast. He was able to slide without going head first. It makes it a little bit easier when you're able to slide cleats up. Nonetheless, a great play.
Great plays have no regard for great guys. Lexus Sadoui retires Joe Olsonski for the third time. That's Theo Boucher. Two down here in the top of the seventh inning. All knotted up at one apiece. Augusta has far out hit Lynchburg. They have five. They've also picked up three errors. Lynchburg with two hits and two errors. Hasn't been a clean game for anyone. First pitch to Boucher is a fastball. He finds Martinez. And that's why, right there, Cleveland has had so much patience with Martinez over the years. His fastball can gear up and be electric. The 0-1, right there again, this time 96 for Frank Tuohy. Looks like he's really piecing it together with that fastball in the seventh. See if he goes back to it or tries to pull the string. Two strikes on Boucher. He went with the fastball and got the call. Boucher punched out. A 1-2-3-7 for Martinez. One knotted up, headed to stretch time here in the Hill City.
What a horrible series this has been. So boring. That's true.
It's the only thing about boring baseball.
Yeah.
At least the pitcher's been good.
Yeah, that's true.
Lopez and Aldi combined 0-6 with 4 strikeouts. Shoemaker. This is out wide, ball two. He is quite tall, 6'6". He's not the tallest pitcher on the staff. That belongs to Garrett Bauman, who stands at 6'8", only 19 years old. Shoemaker. This is off the inside part of the plate. He was drafted in the 11th round of the 2021 draft out of St. Benedict Catholic in Cambridge, Ontario. All four to Sadoui. All open up the inning. So go ahead and run. And the bottom half of the seventh inning. He had a 3-3-game stint to begin his professional career in complex
rehab
before being injured and returning back to the complex league. This is his third year in Augusta. That gets away from the catcher, but not long enough, far enough for Sadoui to advance into scoring position.
Shoemaker. He's still young. I'm not too concerned at this point in time. He's now balancing it. He's only 21 years old, which is right on pace for the age that we're looking for single-A baseball. Sure, for him, for being drafted out of high school, he was hoping to be a little farther by now. Pitches up and away to throw down, so he took off. Out of 10. Good jump once again for the hookup. They see something in Shoemaker. His long arm delivery. It's just a long delivery. As long as you get a decent enough jump.
Yeah, and you'll see relievers oftentimes seemingly worry a little bit less about runners with their delivery just because they are seeing them less.
Lopez pops it up shallow center. He slams his bat down in disgust. It'll be the right fielder coming in, Worrell, who makes the grab. Sadui couldn't even get a chance to step off the second base.
Number seven, Grant Sadui.
Go ahead, run to that second base. We're knotted up at one. Lynchburg still with only two hits tonight. So bats have been quiet. Lynchburg without them. Velasquez, Cheerio, Gonzalez in tonight's lineup. Three of the heavy hitters. Well, Dewey fouls it back to the screen for strike one. You can tell that they have been sorely missed tonight.
Yeah. And so have players like Drake and Cledonia on the other end for Augusta. That offense has been held in check. They've had more success than Lynchburg, but still.
Lynchburg has had two runners gunned down at home plate today. Good stop by Owen to prevent that from getting to the backstop as Shoemaker grip blocked it.
Yeah, he's done that on a couple pitches now as Shoemaker. So if you're Sadui, don't get lackadaisical over at second. If you see a ball in the dirt, get ready to go.
Wilsowski hovering around the back as Aldui ropes it right field, right on the line of fair ball. Here comes the go-ahead run. He will score. Aldui heading to second. He's going to turn and go for three. A good throw from the right fielder is online, but Aldui is standing. He's an RBI triple.
His first triple as a Hillcat. He did have one in the Arizona Complex League, but that puts a pivotal second run on the board, what feels like an absolutely monumental accomplishment for the Hillcats today. And even better, you got a guy 90 feet away with one out for Tommy Hawk.
Aldui, when he popped up from third, gave a little sucker punch motion, almost exactly how this moment feels for Augusta, who after leading the ball game through one inning, now find themselves down 2-1 in the bottom of the seventh inning.
Yeah, and your bullpen has been really good for Lynchburg this series, but you want more here. You want two or three more, to be honest with you. You really want to give some insurance the back half of the pen.
Tommy Hawk takes outside for ball one. Well, the top of the order is up. That's exactly who you want in this situation. Hawk reached out a single little dribbler out in front of home plate in his last plate appearance. Doing 90 feet away. This is low, 2-0.
Yeah, especially Tommy Hawk. He's exactly who you want up in this spot because he just makes contact with the baseball. He's not going to swing and miss, which is pretty much your worst nightmare in a one-out runner on third situation.
Dewey eyeing the pitcher. A good high breaking ball. Hawk's eyes lit up. Really never came down. Shoemaker just threw it above the zone and Hawk could not lay off. Left-hander. Another one. This one in tight. Three balls in strike. Hawk learned from the first time.
Here, Hawk, the only reason you're swinging here is it's a ball you can elevate. He tends to pound the ball in the dirt. Not what you want to do here with an infield in. I've seen it burn the Hillcats already today.
Two times in the situation. He's come back to bite him. And a walk to Hawk. Which one is at the torch? I would not expect Hawk to be at the torch.
Yeah, he might as well try for it now. I mean, he's going. And pitching coach for the Green Jackets, Elvina knows it. He also just wants to calm down his reliever who's walked two batters in this inning. First two he's walked in the relief outing so far. And he's pretty easy pitcher to run on, as we've noted. Tommy Hawk doesn't need much help. He gets good jumps and he can fly.
Looked like Mina had his first bit of words with the catcher Owen, and now he's going to call the infield in, as I think they're going to discuss a plan for what they're going to do for when Hawk inevitably takes off from first base. Throw down with Aldui at third. Are they going to pump fake? Are they going to try some trickery and throw to a charging shortstop to try and cut off Aldui at home? We've seen all sorts of different things in this situation, so it would not shock me in a one-run game for Augusta to try to bring something out of their repertoire. They find themselves down 2-1. Christian Napsing after this. He's reached base all three times, but he's 0-for-1. Two walks and a fielder's choice. Hawk holds on the first pitch, and this is wide for ball one to Christian Napsing. A shock that Hawk didn't even take off there. Takes his lead. He's got the sliding glove on his left hand. Holds again, and now Chick watching it all the way. Breaking ball, 1-1. Seems like Hawk just patiently reading Shoemaker. Here he goes.
Great jump.
Napchick pops it up toward right field. It's deep enough to score the run from third. Worrell will settle underneath it. The throw comes home. It's another good one. A little bit off the line. And so the two will come home. And Christian Napchick does his job. Pittsburgh now leads by two.
He sure does. Exactly what you're looking for. In the first time today that Lynchburg has been up at the dish with a runner on third base and one out, hit that spot more than once. First time they've been able to actually elevate a baseball and drive it. For the most part, it's just been pounding it into the dirt, which just puts your runner in a tough spot to make a quick decision, and they've made the wrong one on both chances. This time, though, Christian Napchick removes all doubt.
Hawks scampers back on the throw over. Tunez, he reached out an air in the first inning, but that's it. Been retired. The other two times he's been at the dish.
Me and Tristan both had some.
As the first pitch misses upstairs for ball one. Dutton has batted 275, two home runs, 28 RBIs. OPS of 802. Stern now up by two.
No.
It's fouled back to the screen. For strike one.
Sure, the Hillcats, you can still send Tommy Hawk here. Get a runner in scoring position.
Tunez. He gets underneath it. Drives it to deep right field. Tunez waving goodbye. I was just about to say, Tunez was the only other Hillcat to drive a baseball. He crosses that second, showboats just a little, and plays it all the way around for a two-run blast to put Lynchburg on top, 5-1.
First bomb Lynchburg has hit of the series. And Tunez has been hitting the ball better for a while now, going back to May. He's been seeing it a lot better, but not until recently have we seen him really find his power stroke again. That's his third home run since May 31st. And heading into the season, he was a top 30 prospect, right at that 30 mark for Lynchburg. And a big reason why was the power potential, and we just didn't really see that early in the season. But boy, we are seeing it now. It's another four-run inning. This time it comes in the seventh for the Hillcats.
Big frame. That one's up and in on Mejias. And that was two back-to-back that ran inside. And part of me wonders if that was a bit intentional.
Yeah.
Because Wilfredo Antunez, he went to second base, paused, and did a little celebration. I think that's what Jordan Smith is saying. Two straight pitches ran up and in on Mejias.
And after a home run, the next batter you plunk?
Yeah, the only, sorry to cut you off, the only reason why I'm a little hesitant on that is because that pitch came in at 86. So it seems like if you want to plunk a guy, you're not going to throw a slider. But for him to lose control on back-to-back pitches up and by the shoulder pad after a definite showboat celebration home run definitely draws some questions. If I looked up at the radar gun and that showed 90, I'd be definitely thinking, yeah, that was intentional, and it still might have been.
Well, this one runs up and in on Benjamin, as it does not, but you would think that the Hillcats might start getting a little bit more chippy in that dugout.
Huh, I think they'd leave it.
As they lead it 5-1, Shoemaker pulled the swing on Benjamin. One ball, one strike. And it's kind of been removed from the game of baseball, where you plunk a guy after a home run or after showboating, just because of the way baseball is gone. Big breaker that broke all the way outside, 2-1. But every once in a while, and Antunez very clearly was strutting his stuff. He paused at second base, did his little dancey dance, and kept going. Breaking ball misses wide, 3 balls and a strike for Jordan Smith. He knew it. He caught it. So when that ball ran up and in and hit Mejias without stalling for time, broke to go talk to Reginald Webb to see if it was intentional. Mejias taking off and it's ball four. Mejias in his scoring position. Benjamin takes the walk and out comes Winston Sawyer. First time we've seen him make a pitching change in this series. He will go to his pen. Shoemaker now saddled in losing position here in the bottom half of the second. We'll be back after you hear this.
It's Sergeant Joseph, and summarize your truck at Bridget Diesel. Put that over me. Get the Bridget Diesel Summer Special, a coolant flush, AC3 on check, transmission fluid check, air filter and cabin filter check, all for $189. Go to WickedDieselVA.com. Run out what you love, and go Wicked. Wicked Diesel, Bedford, Virginia.
You see brokenness every day. Some people who are unable to live together, and others who just won't work to get much to work on. At Impact Living Services, we come alongside our children and their families to give them a chance to heal, grow, and succeed. If you have a heart for people and want to make a dramatic difference, consider Impact Living Services. Visit ImpactLivingServices.org to see what we do and how to help you.
The season. He only goes about one inning every single night. 8 strikeouts, 6 walks.
And don't forget Roberto, $5.45
the right-hander.
Stands
6-2, 180. He's entering a tough situation. We're up 2 down.
Yeah, they have. And after the Antunez home run came off of a hit-by-pitch and a walk, as Shoemaker completely lost his control. For Sanchez, that's been a concern. He has 5 walks on the season, just 7 strikeouts. In his last outing, didn't allow a run, but he did allow 2 hits in 3 walks through 2 innings. That's a lot of traffic to have to navigate through. Credit to him on that outing, he was able to do so. But he hasn't been so lucky for the most part this season, as you noted, his ERA at 5.40.
Jose Pastrana trying to deliver some more damage, and maybe the knockout blow. He swings through a high fastball, got a piece of it for strike one. Pastrana, the ninth man to bat in this inning. Drove him home with a triple. The 0-1 from Sanchez.
Castrano fights it off foul strike two. Shoemaker is responsible for both runners that are aboard right now. Two strikes on Castrano. They may be on the verge of getting out of it. What did you say to me before the game started? You talked to me about this lineup.
Yeah. I said this is going to be the best offensive day of the series, probably. That's how it was against Salem, and that's how it's been in the past. And they've been good in this half inning. I'll give them that.
You said they're going to put up at least 5 runs. What have they done?
Yeah.
They put up 5 runs. 2 aboard, 2 away, the 0-2. Castrano drives this to center field. Gonzalez will settle underneath it. Drew a straight line from second to the flag pole. He'd be right along it. The inning is over. Lynchburg puts 4 on the board, capped off by Wilfredo Antunez. 2-run bomb to right. We'll step aside after you hear this.
We needed that because I don't think Artiles is getting out of this game without allowing at least a run.
Yeah, probably. But he did look sharp.
He does.
Fans, your Lynchburg Hillcats will be back in action tomorrow, June 15th at 6:30 p.m. as they take on the Augusta Green Jackets in the 5th game of the 6-game series. It'll be Cancer Awareness Night, and we'll be giving away a James Centurio t-shirt jersey to the first 500 fans. We'll also have fireworks show after the game. Make sure to get your tickets now at LynchburgHillcats.com. And fans, there's no better way to celebrate the 4th of July than with the Hillcats as we take on the Salem Red Sox that night, followed by the only fireworks show in town. Save $2 on your tickets if you purchase early. Make sure to get the tickets now at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
You know, every couple weeks this season, every couple of homestands, and there's Silver Sluggers, which is for those advancing years.
Sure.
Who are Hillcats fans. And one of my favorite parts of Silver Sluggers nights are the Bat Boys. Traditionally, the Bat Boys are high school guys that look over that part-time job to get $200
and the baseball's out to the umpire.
Yeah, it's a fun summer job.
But on Silver Sluggers night, they bring out 2 elderly season ticket holders to do all the dirty work. And it's one of my favorite parts. I've talked to them after one of these nights before, and they're gripping their back and saying, oh, man, that hurt. And they just have a great old time, enjoying it, laughing. They argue over who gets to be in the Hillcats dugout because they're 2 season ticket holders every single year. Luis Sanchez takes a strike 1-1.
I want to see Jordan Smith dunk on one of them like he did to the Bat Boy yesterday.
They're in a conversation right now. Maybe discussing strategy.
Hey, maybe.
He's probably seen a bit more baseball in his lifetime. Driven into center field, going to be a tough play for Hawk. He'll play up on it. Beat off single for Luis Sanchez in the 8th inning.
Baseman,
I guess it doesn't matter who you put the leadoff spot during the line production for the Green Jackets. Just Sanchez, 2 base hits. Hey, the last time he did that to lead off, and then he came around to score the only run.
Find themselves down by 4 of them right now. They are still out hitting the Hillcats. 6-4. We take a look across the Carolina League. There's one game that we're really keeping an eye on. As Figueroa flies over toward right. Junior will make the grab for 1. Fredericksburg in Carolina. Right now it's going to happen. Down in Zebulon. We got our eyes on that one. Lynchburg beats Fredericksburg. Pretty much went out in that series. They want to have any chance at making the Carolina League postseason. Lynchburg has to win out as well. Overdung steps in, a throw over. They almost got Sanchez. It was a closer play than I think Sanchez was anticipating.
Another game that caught my eye, Kannapolis and Delmarva, top 7. A no-no for the Ballers.
I'd say shocking. But we're the only team that struggles against Delmarva. Down and away to Verdun. It amazes me that Lynchburg has dropped both series against the Shorthorns.
Just can't find a way to beat those guys. Everyone else can.
1-0. Popped up to shallow right field on Tunez, ranging toward the bullpen. Let it fall. If we get to the end of the first half, the Hillcats end up finishing about two or three games back.
Yeah. You're going to think back.
You can circle those two series with Delmarva, who have sputtered their way through the first half, as what you can blame. They were opportunities left on the table, and there's probably nobody in that clubhouse that would say otherwise. You expected to go in and beat Delmarva, but you just were not able to. 1-1 to Will Verdun. Flare shot into the screen. 1-2.
Yeah, especially the way the schedule lined up. You know, the Hillcats were about three games out of first, and they had a full slate against Delmarva, and they had Augusta here at home. No secrets that Augusta was struggling at the dish.
That's after playing Salem as well.
Right, so it looked like it was lining up pretty perfectly, and it's just that Delmarva series looms large.
Ground ball over toward third. Pastrano, he'll go to first for the easy out. There's two down.
Good choice by Pastrano not to force anything. He had no play at second. I feel like, you know, this is probably true of a lot of teams, but week one of the season, I feel like they go two there. They try to stretch that. We were seeing that a lot from the Hillcats, where they were just trying to force everything, just pressing for double plays on opportunities where they don't really have a chance. As Artiles now is going to talk things over with field umpire Cameron Jones, and he might be trying to slow down Artiles, just like he was Yoermán Gómez. He had back-to-back box and one at-bat.
Well, I think it was a sticky substance check, because they were feeling his left wrist.
Yeah.
Maybe he reached for it and took a wipe of it. And they wanted to put a stop to that, did Cameron Jones. As Bryson Worrell takes down and away for ball one.
Can't get away with that stuff anymore.
They're all over that. Wouldn't shock me if they got stopped, if they stopped him again heading to the dugout. As the 1-0 runs in tight. Two balls and no strikes.
If you're Archilius here, I think you gotta kind of forget about Sanchez at second base. While Dewey's making a lot of efforts to try to hold him on, Archilius is taking some long gazes over there. You got a four-run cushion. Go right at Worrell. Can't let him get ahead in this count. He's a good hitter.
2-0 popped up and out of play, 2-1. Worrell 0-for-3 on the day. As you said, he is a solid hitter. One of the few probably in all of the Carolina League right now that has any AAA experience.
Right. He's a guy they're certainly banking on to be a middle-of-the-order presence going forward.
Here's the 2-1. He drives that to right field off the end of the bat as Antunez racing, reaching up, making the grab. Well, just couldn't get his barrel up. He gave it a ride. Just caught him off the end. Inning comes to a close. We end the bottom half of the eighth inning. Lynchburg still leads it by 4. Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Check out Free Edge Design Inc. for your signs, banners, and wrap services. They are a 3M certified graphic installation company backed by a 3M warranty, protecting your graphics against any cracking, fading, or peeling for over 10 years. Your graphics will continue to look exactly like they did on the day they were installed. This program will recognize youth groups who have shown exceptional levels of hard work, determination, leadership, and sportsmanship. Participating groups will be
recognized during the Lynchburg Hillcat home game through complimentary tickets, a PA announcement, and a group photo on the Hillcats video board. To learn more about the Community Champions Program, please reach out to us at 434-528-1144.
Lynchburg batted around and bombed the second inning. They went 5-1. Hillcats step in here in the bottom half of the eighth inning against Juan Sanchez. And record the final out on the seventh inning. Was going to be officially closed to work on that. He went two innings of great baseball. Then his third inning unraveled on him as he finishes 2 2/3. Three hits. It's hard to blame it on the walk, but he gave up three in that seventh inning, and that definitely played a factor into how that inning unfolded.
Certainly. I thought it was going to be the sixth inning where Lynchburg finally got to the reliever, but they waited one inning longer.
And he was suspense.
Yeah. I mean, it worked all the same. They find themselves up four, and credit to Artiles, who's been able to continue holding the Augusta Green Jackets in check all the way since the top of the first inning. He's done a great job. We'll see if he's tasked with the ninth as well, or if George Smith wants to send out a new look. The ball in left field will be wrangled in.
It's never a good sign when the ball exits the bullpen.
Seems to happen a lot.
It really does. The one over Sadui is fouled back to the screen. I think right there, that was a swing that said Sadui was tired of seeing balls. That was outside the zone in my mind.
Yeah.
He walked on four pitches in his at-bat in the seventh. He's not a guy that likes to take walks.
Ooh.
That one caught him. Back foot. He tried to get out of the way of it. That's the second hit batter in as many innings by Augusta pitching. Sadui will make his way down toward first. That one looked less
impressive. Certainly. Yeah, with that back foot. And that's a play where you wish you had your chin guards on. You don't see that ever. The lobble over to first.
Just said he doesn't like to take walks. I don't think he likes to be hit by pitches either.
Yeah.
Robert Lopez will step in. Still hitless tonight. He drives this one to deep right field. If it's fair, it's gone, but it's hooking foul. He was out in front of a 93-mile-an-hour fastball. He tried to turn on it.
Him and Mejia, it's been good to finally get them back hitting a little bit. And there was a hole in this lineup when both those guys had gone quiet.
Hunter takes off for a second. The pitch is downstairs. And once again, Owen couldn't get a grip on the baseball. How many times have we seen that happen where Hillcats runner takes off and a catcher for the Green Jackets just can't get a grip?
Yeah, I don't know if it was there. He felt like he needed to rush because it was another great jump by Sadui. I don't know. Tommy Hawk, Sadui, all these Hillcats runners are just getting fantastic jumps on every single Green Jacket pitcher that goes out there. I don't know if they're seeing something or just feeling good today, but you're right. The catcher just can't get it out of their hands.
Seems like they're maybe a tell or something, these guys. They're taking off with a vengeance. This time, Lopez squares it up, but not deep enough. Backpedaling is Worrell. He'll catch it midway back of the warning track. Sadui will scamper down to third, and he's one away. Lopez caught up into the bat himself. He was right on the
bat. Yeah, he thought he got all of it at first. Productive nonetheless, once again. One out, runner on third base. Lynchburg, it seems like they've been living in this situation. And they've certainly started to get a handle on it lately. They were able to bring home Pastrano one inning ago in this exact same spot.
Infield pulled in again with one down, and Aldui, who drove home the runner last inning, swings through for strike one. I can't even say lined a triple down the right field line. He more placed a triple over the first baseman's head and kept rolling into the corner. The 0-1 gets away from the catcher, and the score comes to do. And he slides in safely, finally runs it past Owen. And that one, Sanchez just fired it so far inside, Owen had no chance.
Yeah, it's a wild pitch, and Another run on the board for Lynchburg, yes. Giving more and more insurance to whoever will come into the ballgame for the top of the ninth. I don't think it'll be Artiles. But you would think Artiles would be credited with the win if things were continued to go to plan for Lynchburg.
First pitch. Clear shot over towards second base. Figueroa will secure. Two down. Will be interesting to see what Jordan Smith decides to do. They used three pitchers last night.
Number five.
I thought they'd probably get Kelly Scott another inning.
Yeah.
They decided against him.
Yeah, I don't know if that was Vasquez supposed to pitch today, so we're going to pitch today. Because Scott had one tank. We've seen him go 5-6. Even start games and go that distance. He had only gone 3 1/3 and was lights out.
Struck out 7. Tommy Hawk takes down the left. You know, for Tommy Hawk, he went through a surge there for a little while where he had found a bit of a power swing. It's plugging gaps. Be nice to see him get back to that. He's been beating a lot of things into the dirt and trying to hustle them out, which have worked for him. But if he can get that swing back that was plugging the gaps, driving into the wall, that's an added element to his game. He loses the bat. 2-1. We'll have to add a little bit more spray to those batting gloves.
Yeah, get the sticky stuff. He's going to wring out the handle or the pine tar that. And the batting gloves and the pine tar, sometimes that's like not a good combo. Depends on the batting gloves. Nowadays, they've gotten pretty good. It just doesn't stick.
2-1, misses down and away. 3-1. It amazes me that batting gloves aren't really more like football gloves. Because football gloves are so sticky.
Stick them, yeah.
You don't even need to do anything. Everything just is absorbed. 3-1, Hawks yells at his bat for swinging at that high fastball.
He does that all the time. After a swing like that, just turns his head and yells.
I, too, used to blame my bat. I, however, did not have as much success as Tommy Hawk has in his career. Popped up on the infield. Third base side. Sanchez will glove it, and the inning comes to a close. Lynchburg puts another run on the board, though, and they now lead it by 5-6-1. Step aside and come back to the ninth on Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
The Virginia Commonwealth Games is coming this summer to Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Thank you to Jim and James over at Escape Supply Center for sponsoring the Hillcats from. Go to J&J for all of your residential and commercial landscaping supply needs. Located at 14179 Fort across the Lynchburg Airport, or visit us on the web at jmjcompanies.com for more information.
Here's the last chance to get thrown for those 6 balls for $5 from playing against sports. Your chance to win gift cards, tickets to upcoming games.
He really has. They've been lights out.
Owen rolls it to short. All do it to Benjamin. For number one.
I don't remember if it was in the pregame show of game two or during the broadcast of game two, but I said I thought that big innings might be the biggest separator between these two teams just because of how sparse offense has been consistently. And we've seen that in just about every game where both offenses are held in check. We're not seeing consistent runs on the board. It's just one crooked number, and usually a big one. That's the difference, and that's been exactly the case today.
It's a four-run seventh that separates these two ball clubs as Gonzalez takes a call and strike. And this is a very defeated Green Jackets ball. Yeah. You can see that as soon as Antunez hit the two-run shot, and for understandable reasons, as Napchick has a throw right underneath his glove in the right field. Gonzalez will get a board on an air.
That ball was stung at Matt Tuchel. And he, like, crab shuffled over to it. He did not want to go to the backhand on that ball at all, which I understand, it was hit hard. So he ends up awkwardly moving over to try to deal the ground ball in between his legs in front of him, and he just couldn't make the play. It was an awkward approach of that ground ball in general from Napchik.
Well, they have called it a single, actually. Probably because of how hard it was stung towards second. No Williams. One for three on the deck. Watches it for a call at strike one and one. Now Eigelnick will have to work with the runner aboard. For him, he's got the bottom of the order to call it strike one and two. Hey fans, just a reminder, get your tickets now for tomorrow night. Strikeout Cancer Night, a Jason Churio lavender t-shirt or shirt seat. It's going to be a great time at the ballpark. Already one of the biggest pre-sales of the year. Thomas upstairs, 2-2. So if you want to get your tickets, get them now. Lynchburg-Hillcats.com. Or you can tune in right here on the broadcast. But can't get a t-shirt if you do that. So come on out to the ballpark. Lynchburg-Hillcats.com. Gates open at 5:30. The 2-2 to Noah Williams. This is out wide. 3 balls and 2 strikes. End up having a good crowd tonight. 14-16. The official total.
Some bobbleheads given out as well.
Shane Bieber bobblehead. Guardians fan myself. Static when they announce it. Line to Benjamin. Double play as he starts on his first. And the inning is over. He just stuck out his glove and found the baseball. The inning comes to a close.
And the ball.
We come back. It's for Good Cats Radio Network. The final score here in Lynchburg as the Hillcats poured it on in the 7th inning as they tacked on 4. It would really be all they would need. It was one run allowed in the 1st inning by Yorman Gomez that ended the shutout streak of 20 innings. But they essentially set it up a month to that. Probably nobody more deserving, as he had the 2-run shot that really closed the book on Augusta's chances here this evening. Fredo Antunez, he scores one that probably could have been a triple down the right field line that just landed foul. Also had that big 2-run shot. So right now let's toss it down to Steve Stillwell for a post-game interview with our Hillcat hero, Alfredo Antunez.
All right, fans, I'm here with Alfredo Antunez. Alfredo, great ball game tonight, 6-1 victory. You hit a ball deep over the right field fence. What did that feel like when you hit it?
En verdad, me siento bien, gracias a Dios que pude ampliar la victoria para que el equipo ganara.
Feel pretty good. He's just doing a great job trying to push two more runs for the team and be like all by 3 innings.
Well, you guys are hitting well, but also these guys on the mound, 28 innings, only giving up one run. What can you say about the pitching staff?
Me quedo muy bien, porque tú dices acerca de 28 innings.
Well, I think that's the end of the interview.
RMC.
Sorry, we both. Steve was our coworker professor the day, and so seeing him get down some water cracks me up. What a sight! His light purple jersey that he's wearing for about 12 nights giveaway is now a deep purple on the back. Lynchburg wins it 6-1. Let's recap it here really quickly as we just finished up our interview with Alfredo Antunes. Luis Sanchez, well, he scored the only run for Augusta. That came in the first inning. Overdone would drive home on a fielder's choice. From there, Lynchburg would tack it on themselves. They allowed the Kings to double and score in the fourth. And the Hillcats would pile it on in the seventh inning, capped off by a two-run shot from Alfredo Antunes. Put them up 5-1. And then in the eighth inning, Lester Sanui would be hit by a pitch and then frustration. Steal second, move his way down to third, and then score a wild pitch, making a 6-1 ball. And the Hillcats pitching staff apart from that one run, as Steve Stillwell said, 28 innings, only one run allowed, as they have been outstanding in this series. It's been a good series so far. This pitching staff has done a great job of playing for the offense. Finally, see what's
going. Yeah, it took a while, but they really started getting going in that seventh inning. Like you said, when they scored four, Fredo Antunes, he's really filled into that fourth spot. And a chase they can rely on, not only to get on base, get base knocked, but doing that, he's been averaging on the team. He's been driving in run movements with a home run extra base hit, or just finding a way to get runners across the board. He's talked about that in the post-game interview, and that's been a huge
All right, here we go.
They just got to keep trucking, right? I mean, if they want to keep that climb up the standings, they're going to get some help. The Red Nats are currently up over the Mudcats. We'll go through that game in just a moment, the back half of the postgame show. But more importantly, they got to take a care of business here at home. You're right. They really need to go out, win out here against the Green Jackets, and look ahead to finishing up the rest of the first half well. One thing that impressed me was quick articulation. Really good outing out of the bullpen. They seem to get outing out of the bullpen for this series. But for guys you kind of expect it from at this point, Kyle Scott, he's been fantastic. Matt Jasek has been the most reliable reliever so far over the last couple of weeks. But to get it from running our team lids as well, that's a sign that not only a couple guys are feeling good right now, that whole bullpen might be a little
strong. That bullpen starting to click. Hopefully, we can see some more great baseball we have toward the end of the first round. Connor, you'll get us an update on those standings and the score down in the after we come back. But right now, the final time for the 6-1. Lynchburg wins it tonight. And I'm JC Prince. Good night, God bless, and go Hillcats.
Balls in the bucket.
I wonder what they kind of Steve.
Yep.
Oh, in and out.
I saw it coming. That was so fun.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
I like the Dallas Mavericks of the last three games. If we got anything in this bucket. Nothing in that one yet. Oh! That one hit off the rim. About another 10 seconds, guys. 10 seconds, and then we're going to wrap this thing up. Throw for no. We're going to be doing this again tomorrow night. Don't forget fireworks after the game tomorrow night. The jersey shirt that I'm wearing, Jason Churio. First 500 fans, you get to take it down. Lynchburg.showcats.com. It's for July 4th. We're going to be playing the Red Sox. The only fireworks show in town on the 4th of July will be right here at Megan and James Stadium. All right, 3-2-1. And that is it for throw for no. Looks like we only have three balls.
6-1, the Hillcats take it fueled by a 4-run seventh. Good start once again. This time by Yarmon Gomez. That's four straight. Going all the way back to game one, although that wasn't
Alonzo. 7-0-7.
Four straight starts here in this series against Augusta.
4-3-0-9.
Bump. They have been phenomenal. Around the Carolina League, with the only one that's completely concluded, as we've been moving at record pace here for the Hill City with the pitching we've seen all series long. But Fredericksburg, they're just in the bottom of the ninth, about to finish things up against Carolina Mudcats, and they lead 5-2. It looks like it's all in hand for the Frednats, so things are going the Hillcats' way the last 2 days. They pick up wins, of course, step one, and then step two, Carolina Mudcat losses also fall in favor of the Hillcats. Last night, Down East was able to win, so they remained in second place. Today, they're tied. The bottom of the ninth, 2-2 to Charleston. So we're all River Dogs fans so far here tonight, as we hope Charleston's able to take in extra innings against the Wood Ducks, which will put Lynchburg in the second place spot. Kannapolis and Delmarva, that's still a no-hitter in the bottom of the eighth inning. 3-0, Cannonballers in front. Velaz was the one to start on the mound for Kannapolis, and that's been carried on to the bullpen, where Delmarva's been continued to be held hitless. Columbia and Myrtle Beach, 7:05 p.m. Eastern start, so they're still in the bottom of the seventh. The same could be said for Salem and Fayetteville. They're in the middle of the seventh inning. Columbia leads 7-2 over the Pelicans, 5-1 Salem over Fayetteville. Those two games trending toward blowout territory. We're going to take a closer look here at the Kannapolis-Delmarva game, where, yeah, Delmarva, they're in the bottom of the eighth inning. They are up. They have not recorded a single hit, so if you're interested in that, tune into the broadcast on MILB-TV, MLB-TV, or Bally Sports Live, and make sure that you're keeping up with that Kannapolis-Delmarva game, because we could be seeing history in Kannapolis, or in Delmarva for Kannapolis here tonight. The standings, like I said, the only final has been Lynchburg, so they improved to 34-27 on the season. As of right now, that puts them in second place, and depending on what the Down East conclusion is, they could stay there. That game, like I said, tied and heading towards extras. We won't go through the rest of the standings tonight because nothing has quite changed yet. But if you want to get an update, make sure you tune in tomorrow at 6:10 for the pregame show. I'll preview all things happening here in the Hill City ahead of Game 5, as well as a look around the Carolina League, including the standings. So tune in for that. That happens every game before the game, like clockwork. Connor Young, myself, is the host. So for Jason Prill, I am Connor Young, saying so long and good night from Lynchburg, Virginia, where the final score for one final time is 6-1 Lynchburg Hillcats. Thank you for tuning in to the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network, and good night from the Hill City.